you're on. That was you.
Oh, yeah?
You want to bring in the show?
No, you do. You're in charge.
So, everybody, welcome back to the Cave of Solitude. This is the big episode 100. Yay! Woo! Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're snapping. We're waving our hands. This is episode 100, as I said. And in the room, we've got some very, very, very special guests. Some of our favorite guests and co-hosts from the past. I'm not sure which order we should go in. Let us start with the lady to my right. Everybody's favorite co-host. The reason why people listen to the show. Stand and state your name. Tell them where you're from.
It's Lady J, y'all.
Lady J is in the house. And the other two guests that we have are people that I've been able to make friends with through the podcast. But the real reason why they listen is because of Lady J. And the real reason they wanted to be on this episode was to meet Lady J. So let's go with the other guy that everybody knows, my co-host and partner in crime from the Fastball Special.
Martin Slam Duncan
is in the house. Welcome back, Martin.
And that was truth and truth. I can attest, Lady J exists.
Everybody thought she was a rumor or she was some sort of Siri voice that I would just talk to for the show.
And she did not shake my hand.
She did. The unshakable. That's right. And the voice that brought in the show, probably everybody's favorite guest that I've had and been able to interview. Do your special way of introducing yourself, because no one does it like you.
Oh, hey, guys.
Is that what I do?
Yeah, you just go, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Tell them who it is.
Oh, Shane Heron.
There you go. Shane Heron. That's my name.
So I was at the beginning of this?
You absolutely what was I saying? You were just saying, are you going to pop champagne to it?
Oh, yeah, okay. Just like, yeah. I was like, who was I talking shit about?
You got that
off. Uh-oh.
No, previous conversation was
sure
recorded.
That, yeah, I made sure we stopped.
So you're not
going
to edit this at all.
No, okay, that's right. Just remember.
It started an hour ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk now. So we got drinks on the table. We were celebrating, but Martin Slam Duncan brought champagne. So who's gonna pop the bottle of champagne to bring in episode 100?
You guys. You
want me to? Daph, you want to do it? You go for it.
Okay.
Because I know your reaction when it pops will be more.
Don't aim at the light. You're gonna hit it at the light.
Yeah, aim it at like.
So as soon as I
for a good pot.
No. You gotta like.
I gotta
take that off. Then you gotta
take that off.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have.
You gotta jerks it.
All right. Wait.
Oh.
What? Is happening? Oh. Okay. Okay, and then.
Okay, we gotta get the play by play.
Don't just don't point out like on lamp or something. Point at Martin.
Martin's good.
You can
catch
right at me.
Steve.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Oh, salut.
It's like a championship.
Colby, come with me.
Yeah. That's the best part about having a dog is just spilling stuff.
She just walked right by it.
Your dog just drank half the champagne on the floor.
I got it. I got the paper.
Dog's a snob. What is it?
Yeah, it was
2016.
Right.
No, thank you.
All right.
It's like Slam. You could have bought some better champagne.
Does it smell like peanut butter?
That's for the 500 episode.
Yeah,
this is $100 bottle. Our 100 episode bottle.
There we go. Champagne has been popped.
Was this Dom Perignon?
Yes, that's what we're gonna tell him. It
yeah.
is Moet Chandon.
Yeah, that's accurate.
We're rolling like rappers here. All right.
But it is legit champagne.
No, absolutely. It's champagne.
I heard it.
from the champagne
region.
It has to be from the region.
Yeah.
To be considered. Otherwise, it's sparkling wine.
Yeah.
There you go. So we're official here. Officially episode 100.
Yeah.
Who's having some champagne?
Are you not scared to spill on this?
Yeah, whatever. It's just a puzzle.
1,000 piece.
Oh, wow. Is that the right way to pour? That's not the right way to pour.
I don't know. I don't drink a lot of champagne.
I don't know.
We're getting a lot of the bubbles.
I never celebrate anything ever.
Well, we got.
Can the listeners hear the bubbles?
Yeah, I'm sure they can hear the bubbles. Hear the bubbles.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we are also celebrating
audience.
The both me and Martin have had Shane on the show. We're gonna celebrate the Morris being kickstarted.
Oh yeah!
Officially.
Thank you. People keep sending me congratulation messages.
How does that feel to have? Seen the had the vision of Kickstarter and then to see everybody that supported and backed it and now it's official.
Oh, it's great. The support has been like amazing. That feels great, but it's also I don't want to do another Kickstarter, man. It's a lot of stress. Like,
is it?
Well, I planning it was a lot of stress. Then like when you launch your Kickstarter, you're just refreshing every 5 seconds, being like, is it there? Is it there yet? Right. Yeah. So, no, it's a great feeling, but I haven't even got to the part where the hard part where I actually have to like
now you gotta
print the book and package them and get them. But yeah, like I got 200 and something backers that I gotta get the book to now. I'm like, oh yeah, that's not gonna be fun packaging it. So, but that's, I mean, it's a good problem to have, right? So yeah, no, it feels great. I'm amazed at the support because I was worried that the goal was too high, but we did it.
No, you did it, and you did it. I think with time to spare too, right?
Yeah, but a week before it finished, it was
pretty good.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it was a good feeling.
How many pies do you have to make?
I have to make 13 pies.
13?
Wow. I honestly put the pie package thinking it would just, you know, it's a novelty. Uh-huh. A couple people I know will get it. But also it's a nice talking point, right? Mm-hmm. Like people.
I almost got the pie. I was close to getting the pie.
Me too.
Well, you guys got pie anyways. Yeah.
We did get pie.
Yeah, I brought a pie for the 100th.
You did bring a pie for the 100th, but we could tell everybody. We got spoiled here. We got champagne. We got Shane Heron pie. This is a party.
Yeah, party. We had nachos.
Yeah, those were pretty good.
The coloring book. Yeah. We got a dog.
Kobe's in
What's
the house.
Better than
I
that?
Got notes.
Martin's got a
printout.
Yeah, he's got a scroll. An ancient scroll.
Yeah. You should have came in with like a rock chisel. Yeah.
Like something. Waiting 40 years to release this.
You should have brought in the Ten Commandments, but it's your movie
before
list.
There were podcasts. So I was ready for this.
So
are we on? Are we recording?
We are recording.
Oh,
when we start.
So this episode, Daf J came up with the idea of doing another top five, which is everybody's favorite thing to listen to because it gets everybody's tastes and personality out there. So it was her idea to do top five favorite movie endings. So it's needless to say, spoilers will ensue. So if you haven't seen some of the movies we're going to talk about, you may not want to listen to this episode, which is kind of like counterproductive, right? You want everyone to listen to episode 100.
I guess if you hear, we'll say the name of it, and then if you hear the name and you haven't seen it and you want to, then you got to turn it off right then.
Yeah,
because we're gonna say the end.
Fast forward. Oh, yeah. I already feel bad about this, but
I don't. I love spoilers.
you go contrary to everything.
You also like talking during movies.
Talking during movies.
You know what I like doing? I mostly I'll read the Wikipedia of the movie, and then if it sounds good enough, then I'll watch it. They tell you the whole thing.
So what do you do? Do you read books?
Yeah.
Do you read like the last page to see if it's worth going through the whole thing?
Sometimes, yeah. I skip to the end. Yeah.
Have you ever been into a book and then found out how it ends and said, "Forget it, I don't want to get to that point"?
No,
you want it. You're a completist.
Most with like books, I just read them normally usually, but I'm very impatient.
So you don't even care about spoilers?
No, I love spoilers.
Really?
Yeah.
End of the comic. Peek at the end of the comic.
Oh yeah.
Do you like spoiling it for yourself, or do you like do you don't mind other people spoiling it for you?
I don't care about myself being spoiled, and
either,
I feel like I feel like when people get mad that when I spoil stuff, I'm like, grow up, you know. This is a movie. Get over yourself.
At the comic book shop I go to, Cyber City, there's a guy who, he was reading. It was like a big reveal that everybody was waiting for, and he read it in the shop on Wednesday, and he's like, "Ah, that's stupid. Can you believe they did this and this and this?" And he was like, "Out!" He like gave him, I don't know, a suspension, like a 3 weeks of suspension from going to the store because he just killed it for everybody. What would you do, Martin? You're the look on your face.
I know,
is
I got
priceless.
My jaw like open. Yeah, no, I did not like this.
So I suspect
I've seen all the movies you've seen though.
Probably.
I suspect.
I'm pretty sure you've seen.
Maybe.
More movies than everybody
maybe,
at this
maybe
table.
Maybe not.
Yeah, you've seen.
For you, sure.
Shane come up.
I talked about Heavyweights.
Ones.
No one's seen Heavyweights. The next day, he's got the DVD of Heavyweights.
He doesn't mess around, this guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a good ending in that movie, too.
It's on my list.
And still is breaking the glass and stuff. So, you guys are going to hate this. A few years ago, when The Force Awakens came out, I can spoil this now.
Spoil,
this
yeah,
point,
of
right?
course. Yeah.
But I hadn't even seen The Force Awakens yet. It was about 2 weeks after the movie came out, and I was drunk at a bar, and I just went on Facebook and I wrote, "Han Solo dies," and that's all I wrote.
Wow.
And people got so mad, like so mad. I got so many private messages. I got people going like, "I'm unfriending you because of this," and I didn't like. And then I realized like, no one got it spoiled for them that was mad. Like. nobody read it and was like, oh, now it's spoiled, I'm pissed. It was 2 weeks after the movie came out, and anyone who cared had already seen it. So everyone who messaged me was like, you shouldn't do this because it ruins it for other people. And they were like outraged. And I was like, but you've already seen it. Like, no one got spoiled for it.
Yeah.
Like, right. Anyone, 2 weeks after Star Wars comes out, if you haven't seen it, you probably don't care that much,
is
right?
Is that the statute? 2 2 weeks? I think that's not too bad.
I don't know.
On a major movie.
If you're a real Star Wars fan,
you
don't
seen
watch
it on
yeah.
opening day.
That's not too bad.
You're not good.
You, but. I thought it was funny, but people were really mad. I still get people mad about it. They still talk about it.
If there's
it.
Something, yeah, if there's something that I, or even like a fight or UFC or something like that, I don't want to hear about until I've seen it, I'll just go dark on Facebook for a while.
Oh, so I just find out what happens and I watch it later anyways. Oh. I like knowing the end.
You're a weirdo, man.
Rocky Five.
You know what? I don't like to be anxious. So, like...
I understand that.
I just want to know what happened. So, I remember when I went to see Mad Max, the new Mad Max that came out a couple of years ago.
You went to watch the new Mad Max?
It was a long story, but I ended up... My friend.
Did you talk during it?
No, because of the girl I went with got mad if I talk. But, so, she was like, we're going to see this. And I was in a bad mood. So, she goes, meet us at the theater. And I went, and there was just with these other people I didn't know. And we're going into the theater, and she's like, they bought a ticket for me. And she's like, oh, do you have your glasses? And I was like, what, sunglasses? They bought 3D movie.
Aww.
I hated it. I was so mad. And I was complaining the whole time. And then I just, I went to the bathroom. I read the Wikipedia of what happens in the movie. And I went back to my seat, and I fell asleep and was snoring. And I got in trouble for snoring through the movie.
You were literally snoring?
Yeah. I don't like it. There's so many dirty people in that movie.
Dirty people in the desert.
You guys have seen it though, right?
Like the guy making a post-apocalyptic western.
My post-apocalypse is going to be cleaner than that movie. Like everyone in that movie, my review was like, they got to hit the showers.
They don't even have water.
Yeah, they Mad need Max. Some water. It's gross.
So will Morris, will they still have showers and all of the
brothels? There's lakes everywhere. Go for a dip in the lake. Go for a swim,
God
you know?
Forbid someone has a sword. That's crazy talk.
A dick sword. Should we talk about that? Can we talk about that?
Absolutely. 100%.
So part of the Morris Kickstarter was I had three spots that... you can be in a scene in Morris in issue one. And two of the three spots were bought by Eric and Martin. So they're going to be characters in the book. And they're going to get bigger roles than originally planned. And Martin wants a sword.
I want a sword.
He doesn't want a gun. He doesn't want a six-shooter. He wants a sword. What kind of sword do you want?
I'm going to get back to you on that one. I got to think
really?
About this.
Are you going to make a list? The swords?
And he's going to print it out.
I think you should.
Give you the backgrounds on the swords.
A broadsword?
I don't know. That does sound crazy.
You want to get like a ninja sword or samurai sword, right? Like
I mean, preferably like a katana over a ninja too. But yeah, we'll think about it. All right. We got you.
Print out a
nunchucks are pretty cool too. But
that's not a sword.
I know. Well, you got to get a backup.
Nunchucks with a sword at the end of it. What about just like a mace? Like a medieval mace?
Yeah.
Should we get through our lists? I guess we're never going
to
get there.
We'll
no, that, I like listening to this. This is great. If he gets something, does my character get something?
What do you
or
want?
Just glasses?
You're going to get a sword and Martin's not going to get a sword.
How pissed would you be if you saw
I'd
me
be
come
so
through?
Mad.
You didn't see, there was actually another tier where if you appear in the book, you get a sword, but you didn't buy that package, so I'm sorry.
See, I figured I wouldn't buy that package because I got free pie. I get the free sword.
Free sword. We'll see.
When do you imagine the book will be available?
It's going to be ready. I'm going to go to print in January because I could have had it done for December, but I figured work gets busy. Everyone's busy in December. Just to make it safe, I said January.
That's fair.
So because January, everything slows down. I can get the book out to everybody. So.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm pretty happy with it so far.
Martin Eric featuring Morris.
Yeah,
I like it.
We could be the new, not Quantum and Woody, but like Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
In the Morris universe. Little side adventure. We'll see. Maybe that'll be the next Kickstarter. We're putting
there
too much pressure on him.
Well, I feel like you guys are going to die from the plague or something like that.
Oh, why would you do that?
In the first issue, can we kill the other guy who pledged to be in the
book? I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is. Because if you go through, like, if you fill out the information, it says, you know, like, Martin, Slam Duncan, pledge this, but some people don't, so it just says guest number, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know everyone who did it, and the third one, I still don't know who bought the
Yeah, how are you supposed to put them in?
Like, well, I got to send out surveys to everybody, and then that's, I guess, where they give me their information.
Got it.
Cool.
So he's gonna have to ask for a luchador mask, but then you couldn't really see me, so it could be anybody.
Well, no, it's you with the sword.
Yeah,
it's
true. With the sword. I still know it's me.
Anyway. You want a luchador? There's no luchador mask in this world.
Why not?
You can have a sombrero. That's
it. Oh, okay.
Not the one he drew, though.
No.
The sombrero he drew.
You can have like one of those big like sequined sombreros. You know, like very impractical.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's where I put the nunchucks.
That's where you put the
sword. Put them in there.
All right. So, since, Dav J, you came up with the idea for the episode, why don't you get us started with your top five favorite movies? Yeah, the pressure's all on you.
Okay. Are you nervous having two other people here?
I am. This is the first time.
Yeah.
I'm so quiet.
You are very quiet. You're usually like talking your ass.
You guys did one with someone else before.
We did.
Way back?
Way back. Like way early in the beginning, we did it with another couple people.
Did?
Yeah. Little Sparrow and our wild card.
Oh, that's right.
Everyone's
right.
Got a code name here. Except for you guys.
I want a code name.
You're Shane the Sheriff.
The Sheriff, okay.
Yeah.
I like alliteration. Slam Dunkin', it's good.
Yeah. I don't really got a good one. He gave me a good one.
Vigilante.
Yeah. Do you like the Portuguese Prince for
Rikimima? I've been calling him that's the Portuguese pretty good. Prince. I gotta say, that's pretty good.
Yeah. King of Kickstarter. Well done.
I love it. No, the Portuguese, I've been calling him that when I text him, and he's like, fuck.
Was he upset about it? I thought he liked it.
No, he doesn't.
You know you gotta draw that, right?
The Portuguese Prince.
Yeah, you do.
I wish he should appear in the
on
book,
his throne.
Actually,
yeah. With a bag of chips.
22 minutes in, and we're talking about chips.
That's you didn't get to, so we're talking about the last episode, that was the 99, right, with Ricky?
Episode 99 with Ricky.
Because I always say Ricky loves chips, and you gave him the top five chip. But
I did.
Regardless of that, before you even got there, 22 minutes in, he mentioned chips.
Mentioned chips.
Yeah.
Not any substances.
Ricky loves chips.
You actually looked at the time when he said it?
Yeah, I went back.
He went back.
You can rewind
evidence.
Like 30 seconds at a time on a
screenshot
podcast.
Evidence.
I went back. And, yeah. I think I did screenshot it.
And you put it as your post, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this, 22 minutes
in. Ricky loves chips. And then he's like, I don't really love chips that much. And then went on and on about chips. And when he's like, all of them.
I love every type of chip. He loves
chips. I mean, I like chips too, but he loves chips.
So wait, is it the flavors? Is it the texture? Like, what is it?
That's a question you gotta ask Ricky, I think. He just likes chips.
You're a pretty big chip fan yourself.
I am. I like the salt.
She can polish off the bag.
I'll take down
like
sodium
no
like that. I like it.
See, I'll lick a chip first sometimes, just to get that salt fix.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then put it back in. I don't
when Martin offers me chips, I just tell him to make sure it's a fresh
chip. I don't ever buy chips for myself.
Unsalted?
But when I'm at a party or something, there's a bowl, I'm like, yeah, I'll get into these chips. But I never think, like, I gotta go buy chips, right? I don't know.
I just feel it's one of those staples in the cupboard. You just have to have it, just an emergency.
But no, it has to be just the salt.
Just the plain.
Original.
Or salt and vinegar.
That's it.
Yeah,
none of that funky ruffle all dressed stuff.
What's wrong with that? You know what I hate is regular chips.
What?
People love them.
They're
salt.
They're so good.
There'll be a turning point.
No way.
It was you, man.
No, never.
I'm telling you, there'll be a turning point.
No.
When someone offers me a regular,
less is more.
I was at my friend's house last week watching UFC, and there was two
something
bowls
about
of chips,
that.
And then the all dressed were there, and I had the regular near me, and when no one was looking, I get these plain salted chips out of here. I have no time for them.
Anybody want chips now that we're speaking about them? Craving?
We just ate so much chips covered in cheese.
Yeah. We're dedicated to Ricky Lee.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
I like tortilla chips. They're great.
We have pie.
We do have pie. We gotta save room for pie.
Yeah, apple pie.
Got it.
Excellent.
Thank you for baking that, by the way.
You're welcome.
What's the flavor? Is it a surprise flavor?
It's just apple.
Okay.
Like classic.
Best.
The classic.
I love apple.
Yeah. I feel like I'm trying to perfect my pies, and I feel like I'm getting really good at the apple flavoring.
Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of pie to make?
I guess you don't listen to the episode. So
Yeah.
Someone doesn't listen to the fastball special.
Someone doesn't listen to the fastball special. We do the top five list.
All
right. That's right.
I like them all because I do it for work. So I like trying new different stuff. But my favorite, because I never really cared for it before, was strawberry rhubarb.
I knew the answer to that. I knew
no,
there was a rhubarb.
Because I didn't. I always was like, why rhubarb? Because rhubarb has the same sort of, it's almost like a tart flavor, like a strawberry flavor, but like they go hand in hand because strawberry's sweet, but it's very similar to strawberry, and I'm always like, why can't you just have a straight strawberry pie? Like, why do I need rhubarb? But then in the summer, because there's only a small window of rhubarb, we did it at where I work, and I think we came up with a good recipe, and I was like, I think I like strawberry rhubarb. I think I changed my own mind. So yeah, but it wasn't before.
There you go. Someone makes a good enough pie that they change their own mind.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I blew my own mind. My own mind. But yeah, I like all kinds of pie. I like making them more than actually eating them. It's just like fun to do it.
Do a lot of people ask you to make them pies?
Yeah. Yeah, there's
besides
this,
like in the store.
Because I make them and I post them online, because I like doing like fancy designs and stuff, there's some people that just comment and they just like have decided that I owe them a pie because I post pictures. They're like, dude, you owe me pie, man. I can't wait to. And I'm just like, why do I owe you a pie? Because I post pictures of pies? And they're like,
yes,
they just decided.
Yes.
But that's why I did on the Kickstarter. I made that as an incentive because there's people who are always like, when are you going to make me a pie? I'm like, hey, here's your chance. $60, you get all my books and you get a pie.
It's pretty good.
That is not a bad deal.
It's pretty
actually.
Good.
I almost went for it. All right, shall we begin?
You both messaged me. You're both like, can we have pie anyways? And I was like, yeah, you'll get pie. Sorry, okay.
I was so torn. You don't understand. It was like me writing a list.
Yeah. Have you ever made a list that wasn't a million things on it?
No.
Was it, with Daph, was it hard for you to make this list, even though you came up with the topic?
It was impossible for me. I didn't know what to do.
So it wasn't like you
I didn't
had...
even know what movies I watched to have, like...
So what made you pick this thing if it was so hard for you to come up with...
Because I think I thought of one movie, and then I'm like, that's a great idea! And then I was stuck after that. I'm like, I can't do this.
Okay, I'm interested
in this,
because you haven't really told me anything. Mm-mm. I know one, and that's it.
Why do you know one?
Because you
one.
You
live she grabbed me. Her book, like, were you looking for this book?
The other day she was trying to show, she's like, look at this, but don't look at that part. All right, go ahead. Kick us off.
See, this is intimidating because I feel like, what if there's repeats?
It's okay, you're
so
first.
So I want to make sure I want to pick one.
Well, if it's
that...
repeats, then I just take it off my list.
And then you're
all
left
good.
With just four?
We'll take
but
one
we're,
off
no,
our
I have
do you have
more
backup?
Than, I have, we have lots of backups.
Backup.
But also, we're going to talk about it anyway. So if it's on your list and my list, we get to all talk
that's
about
true.
It.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
There's no hard rule, I think.
So I thought of Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, how does it end? I don't remember the ending.
I'm trying to think too.
So, first of all, we find out that the inspector is a toon.
Is it Bob Hoskins?
Yes. Judge Doom. It's Christopher Lloyd.
Oh,
the judge.
Yes. Oh, yes, he is the toon.
But then
that's
this
right.
is the first time that Bugs Bunny and Mickey are on screen.
Oh, that's right.
That blew
yeah.
my mind as a kid.
I remember that being like, that's...
And I was like, what? This
Warner
is
Brothers and Disney
like,
all in one
very
shot.
Good.
I remember thinking, being like, that'd be like Superman and Spider-Man.
Surprise cameo.
They're like, it's not...
That's right.
Yeah.
It was pretty spectacular.
I forgot about that.
That was a Spielberg thing. He's the one who arranged it to get that contract.
And the guy is Bob Hoskins, right?
Yeah.
Chris Floyd's so good.
I forgot he's in that.
Yeah. That's my first pick.
That's your first
pick. Good.
How did you feel about seeing the Christopher Lloyd melt in the dip?
Oh, that was freaky. That was like, yeah.
I'm surprised you picked that movie because you don't.
I hate that movie.
But she likes the ending.
It's
the ending. So
why don't you like the movie? Tell us why you don't specifically like the movie.
He takes a little shoe and he puts it in the dip.
That's right.
It's terrible. You see the little eyes going everywhere?
Panic.
Are you going to have a Fox in the Hound moment with your own pick?
Hey.
Don't say that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Wasn't there rules that we're not allowed to... We actually had rules.
Yeah, I gave
we're not
rules.
Allowed to pick
yeah.
really sad
yeah, rules.
Stuff.
Really?
And no clown. No clown.
No clowns and no Fox in the Hound.
Wow.
But you're the one who kicks it off with a movie that makes you sad. I don't get it.
But it wasn't the, it's not the movie overall. We're talking about endings.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's That's fair. It's not just the best endings, it's like how it resonates with you and like how, you know, like the nostalgia or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for putting my words together.
They got your back. You're two biggest fans. Mm-hmm. So Roger Rabbit, I watched that in the theater actually. I was like mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years old. Did you guys see it in the theater?
I don't think I saw it. I did. Theater.
Yeah. How did, for you being, you were what, a teenager at the time, right? When you saw it? Yeah.
I was at the theater, I was talking through it. And this guy in front of me kept stretching me. He was a teenager at the time.
I was throwing popcorn at this guy, I was talking in it.
What was it like from your perspective? Because I was a kid, so I saw it from a different viewpoint. It's like a cartoon movie, but to see that first tune mixed with live action, what was that like?
I thought it was groundbreaking. I was hoping they were going to do a lot more of it after. And they didn't really do a lot more of it after.
Is that one Cool World?
Cool World.
Yeah. Brad Pitt. I remember seeing the ad in all the comic books, but I never watched
Me neither. They were supposed to make a Roger Rabbit 2. And Joss Whedon was... what's his name? J.J. Abrams was there writing it.
I remember thinking... I didn't really get it, I don't think, until I was older. Like, what they were trying to do as a kid, I just was like... This isn't a cartoon, but it's not a movie. Like, I don't know what the hell it was. But yeah, I think as I got older, you can appreciate it a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the little innuendos, too, like Jessica Rabbit playing Patty Cake. And I'm like, what's the big deal? Patty Cake. Why is it? And I got it later.
Oh.
That's how tunes get off. Okay. All right, Martin. Take it away. You're up. Okay. You're up the bat. One of your
pick a number, 1 to 100. Okay. I'm going to go a little darker.
Of course. Mr. Horror.
Yeah. So this came out. This came out in 1995. And we were talking about this guy a little earlier tonight. Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. That's, I know. That's one of the best endings of all time.
Guess.
Seven.
Had to be on my list. I've
never seen it.
Oh. Well, we're going to spoil it for you right now.
You might want to hit pause. When I was looking up like fantastic endings, I saw that Seven was there and I got the gist of it.
That's one that I was going to put on my list, but I was like, I feel like...
What's in the box?
No, I know, but for me, like... There's other stuff that's more important. So when you, but I'm glad you, because it is important. You know what I mean? Like that just resonates with me a bit more.
Yeah.
But that, like, I was like, that is one of the best
fantastic
endings.
Fantastic. So the gist of it, the setup for the ending is.
Spoiler.
It's a big spoiler. There's going to be a lot of big spoilers, it's but setup for the ending is Brad Pitt plays an investigator who's hunting a serial killer. They use the seven deadly sins as their motif for each of the kills, right? So they'll set up the bodies a certain way to represent each of the kills. Long story short, he ends up stringing Brad Pitt along to where the last one, which is wrath, Brad Pitt becomes his wrath and ends up killing the serial killer as wrath, or murdering him. And the way he does it is he kills Brad Pitt's wife, puts her head in a box, he opens it up, he loses his mind, and then kills the serial killer, and he becomes the final seven in his sort of seven kills.
It's such a good scene.
So he basically tricks him into being it. Yeah. And there's this great scene where they know it's coming, you know, and they're trying to stop it, and they're racing to try to stop it because they know Brad's going to kill him, and they don't want him to kill him, and he ends up doing it, and it's just an amazing ending.
Who directed that?
Seven, David Fincher.
That's right.
You can just watch that scene on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you don't have to watch the whole thing. Watch that scene. It's good.
It's a great movie, though. Yeah. It's a dark movie, but it's a great, great movie.
Is it on Netflix currently?
Isn't everything on Netflix?
No. Maybe American Netflix got everything, but we in Canada, we don't get it all. I don't know. I'll look it up, maybe. And just fast forward to the end. Or I'll YouTube it.
I'll just watch the end. Yeah. Even that ending's so good that... Without seeing the rest of the movie, you're immediately compelled. You're like, oh no, what's in that box?
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Now I know
what's in the box.
Yeah, spoilers, everybody. We're going to say it again.
Yeah. Spoilers, that's a big spoiler for the movie. The whole movie's set up that moment. But anyway.
All right.
But watch it anyway. It's good.
Yeah, I gotta check
it out. I always feel like I gotta start with like less serious ones too. I don't know why. When we did the thing, I was like, should I start with like more lighter stuff? I don't know. So mine is Dumb and Dumber.
I was gonna put that on my list, actually.
The reason it is because I love that movie. So, do you guys know like how it ends, basically?
I don't remember, but I know
so
I've seen
they're,
it.
So, you know, they've, the whole movie's kind of ending, and they've done their little, like, journey, and then they're walking back home across the country, because they're, and this tour bus pulls up with all these bikini women, they're on, like, a bikini tour, and they need, they're like, we need two oil boys to join us on our tour to oil us up before events, and they're just like, and they're like, you're in luck. There's a town like 2 miles that way. We're definitely gonna find you guys. Yeah. And the reason I love it so much is because apparently they wanted to do a take where they get on the bus.
Yeah,
and go
that's
with them,
the original version.
But Jim Carrey wouldn't do it. He's like they were like, let's just do it. We won't use it. And he was like, no, I don't want the chance that you guys would actually use that because these guys are so dumb. And it's so perfect.
This works
that
so much better. It's so much better.
Yeah. And then when they like they start to drive away and they're like, okay. And then they're like, you idiot, and they run and catch up and stop the bus. And they're like, I'm sorry. My friend's a little slow. The town is that way. Just like it's so perfect.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's such a great.
And it's the way he delivered that line. You have to excuse my friend. Yeah, he's a little slow.
But they're both like I love Jim Carrey in that, but even Jeff Daniels, like you always think of him as the serious actor. But then in that movie, he's just like the funny, like slapstick idiot. It's such a good movie. And that ending is just like the cherry on top.
Have you guys seen the sequel? I've never seen the sequel.
Yes.
Well, there's a prequel, which doesn't star them.
No, the one
the
that...
sequel, I hate it. And it's I knew
good.
I'd hate it.
It's not good.
All my friends were like, we're going to go see Dumb and Dumber at the movies. Let's like, and I was like, my friend's wife messaged me. And I was like, it's going to be stupid. Why are we going with it? And she was like, out of everyone, you're the only one who said no and is being negative about this. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to go watch it because everyone else is... I don't want to be the guy. And it was the worst. We all sat there watching it. We were like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. They made it 20 years after the original. How is that going to be good?
I don't know, but just from the preview, like, the fact that they started out with him being in the home as a gag.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just, like, the first one's far-fetched and obviously, like, so silly, but there's a premise to it where it's like, yeah, I can appreciate the road trip and the stupidity, like, there's that.
But also, in that movie, like, the whole thing flows, the whole, like, plot of the movie works, scene is, like, there's no best scene in that movie.
No.
You can't choose because every scene has a fucking amazing moment. And then when you watch the sequel to Dumb and Dumber, and I don't know if the Farrelly brothers were involved in it or, like, but you're just like, there's no other way this is going to be good. Mm. And I think there's maybe, like, two scenes where I laughed. And the rest of it, I'm just like, this is so bad.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It doesn't make sense. They're, like, the first half hour, they're just going from, like, place to place. There's no, like, you don't even know what's happening yet. There's no plot yet for the whole movie. They're just stumbling around. You're like, who wrote this garbage? No, don't watch it. Yeah. You should have never made it.
That first one's so classic, though. Like, it's you can always watch it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what point of the movie you started at, it's always like, okay, leave it on.
Yeah. They're amazing in that movie.
Solid pick. I was almost on my list.
Yeah, that ending.
That's a good ending. All right, I don't know if I should go keep it lighter or go with a little bit something more emotional. Okay, I'll go with an emotional one before someone steals it at this table since they're Rocky fans here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Rocky 2.
Oh, yeah.
Rocky 2, it brings me to tears every time.
Is that when he yells Adrian?
That's the first one. That's the first one. This is the one where
he beats Apollo Creed.
One-upper. But when just... The whole premise of him not wanting to fight because he sees that Adrian almost dies, and when she wakes up, she inspires him to go, and he, like, it clicks. So at the end, when he wins the belt and she's at home, she can't run into the ring, it gets me every time. I start bawling when he gives that speech. I cry in the middle of that movie for some reason. We were watching it a few months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know if it was on TV or if I had put in the DVD, and I'm sitting in our bedroom, and I had to, like, leave the room because I just was like tears streaming down my face. And she's like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "Nothing. I'm fine. Are you crying?" And I just was
someone's
laughing.
Cutting onions.
Yeah, I was laughing because I was crying so much and I couldn't control it. That movie does
you know,
it for
like,
me.
I cry at almost every movie. Like every movie has a scene where it's like so emotional that I'm like I start getting teary-eyed.
They didn't get on the bus.
Yeah. And I'll be watching, like, I'm watching with a girl I'm seeing or whatever, right? I'm watching, and, like, she'll be, like, in front, and so I don't want her to see that I'm crying, so I start going like this, wiping the tears this way so she doesn't see, but then I have the tears on this side that I can't wipe, so sometimes I'll wipe it, like, in her hair, you know, like, dry it off there, but, like, I get so emotional, and then I start sniffling, and I'm like, ah, fucking allergies, man, I got allergies, I don't even have allergies, but, like, every movie, like, any John Candy movie, you're gonna cry in it, like, there's a scene where, like,
Great Outdoors, you cry when he shoots the bear in the
yeah, ass. That's right, I love The Great Outdoors.
That's a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so there's no
Rocky
shame, in, there's no shame in crying at Rocky 2.
Yeah, it gets me every... No, I'm no shame, but it just does it every time. And it's the out of all of the Rocky movies, I know people love 4. Shane loves 5 because it's the best one. Even Creed was good.
Creed was great.
Creed was good at the end.
I didn't watch it. It's just Rocky with, like, Creed's son, right? Like, it's the same movie. And Rocky's Mickey?
Yeah, I guess... Yeah, it stands on its own though.
I don't need
it. It does
see
stand
it,
on its own.
I've seen it. It's the same.
And it's probably one of the best Stallone performances.
Yeah, no, it's well. I would say it's in the top.
He won a thing for that, didn't he?
He did. Golden Globe. I think it's in the top tier of all of the Rocky movies. Yeah. It's probably like second best
after Rocky 5.
After Rocky 5. Yeah.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's a good one.
Okay.
All right, Daff J, you're up next. Again? Keep it going.
Ooh. Okay. I like this one.
You should like them all. Like them.
She didn't like the first one, though.
I have backups, but I think I'm gonna go with this one.
Okay.
Have you guys seen The Prestige?
Yes.
Oh, it was on my list.
Was it on your list?
It was.
A magician movie?
Yeah, they're illusionists.
Very good.
Is it Hugh Jackman?
And Christian Bale.
I never saw it, but I feel like that is one I would like.
You should see it.
You'll like it now because it's going to be spoiled for you.
I can't wait. Yeah. This might convince me to watch it.
There you go.
It's a pretty dope ending.
So it's rival magicians who basically go all out to try to outdo each other.
Yes.
No, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Why? I want you to spoil it for me.
Oh, yeah, you're good for spoilers.
I haven't watched it yet, and if you don't convince me with this ending, I probably won't
watch it. No. That's too much pressure.
No, I'm saying, by telling me the ending, listen, I knew Han Solo was going to die, and I still liked watching that movie.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference.
No.
If it's still good.
You tell it, because you're a better storyteller.
No, it's your pick.
No, it's your pick.
You gotta
do it. Okay, so the Christian Bale... He's a guy.
The Bale.
And
then the Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
And they work together. Mm-hmm. And then they don't anymore.
Okay.
Because they're trying to, like, I'm better than this guy. And then they go in, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And when then...
Is it a period piece?
Yeah.
It's like 1700s or something like that? Or...
There's no roads.
When did Tesla live?
I want to say...
Like early 1900s, I guess. Something like that.
Something like the late 1800s.
Okay.
Like, yeah, but
yeah, I'm just trying to figure out.
I think it was 1800s.
Yeah. Because Tesla, the character Tesla's in it.
Oh, Tesla's in it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Played by David Bowie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's pretty
wild.
Cool.
I forgot about
that.
It's really cool.
That's the connection. Keep going.
Is Edison in it?
I think they refer to him. Maybe they refer
they
to
refer.
Him, but Tesla is, yeah.
Okay, sorry, yes, so they're competing
but
magicians.
But see, so it's one of those movies where I don't watch all the time, so I actually, even though I know what happens, I actually forget when I'm watching it.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's so like, how do you say it?
It's like a mind bender?
Something like that.
That's not the word, but
suspenseful?
So you end up finding out how committed these guys are because one of them has a duplicate.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then another guy likes making more of himself but killing them off every time.
Okay.
That's all.
You didn't say the ending.
That is the ending. But I don't want to spoil it.
Martin,
you have to spoil it.
Let's spoil it.
I'm going to spoil all mine.
Let's spoil it. Come on, give him the... Tell him the meat. of it.
That was the meat of it.
No, what? How does it end?
Go ahead.
Go.
No, no, go ahead.
No, go, because you were in a
hurry. No, go ahead. I'm not in a hurry.
Do it. You're going to do a better job. We gave her a chance. You kind of
have to talk about what the trick is.
Yeah, so he's trying to figure out how Christian Bale is. He's basically performing a trick where it's literally impossible.
Impossible, yeah.
Because there's two of him.
To survive, yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, in order for him to do that, like, what is he doing to do it?
Yeah.
So he has to top it somehow. So not just switch in the same room the way, you know, like, I'm here and now I'm there on the same stage. So he's like, I got to really blow him out of the water. So he goes to Tesla and comes up with some sort of a technology that has never been discovered before where it clones him immediately. So he, every time he does it, and it clones him, this big machine, he disappears, but then he shows up at the other part of the theater, and everybody's like, how did he do that? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So what he's been doing is he duplicates himself, and the one that falls into the trap door with water to try to escape,
he drowns them.
He drowns himself every time.
Okay. He kills himself.
He keeps storing himself in like this hidden, I don't know, like, basement where nobody and Christian Bale is now trying to say my trick is good, but I have a twin.
Yeah,
nobody knows he has a twin. How the heck is this guy going from this part of the room to the other? And then he finds that trap door and realizes he's killed himself like 100 times.
So he finds all these like dead bodies,
finds all these drowned versions of him. But Christian Bale's trick is so impressive because him and his brother actually like cut their own fingers off to show that they are the same person.
But they actually even switch places, remember? Yeah. Because one of the brothers is married.
Yes.
So even the wife would be like, one day you love me and one day you don't. Mm. So she doesn't realize that. She didn't even know. She didn't even know he had a twin.
Yeah, so they're switching.
Like multiplicity.
And it was messing with her head.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think she had a kid with him too, right?
Yeah, so sometimes she's like, sometimes I know this guy and he's such a wonderful man, and the other times it's a completely different person who doesn't really like me.
Yeah.
It's because they're switching places to be committed.
Does he marry the other guy's wife?
I don't think so.
Probably.
But they're so committed to the act, right? So that's...
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that.
That's good enough. You don't need to now.
That's why I was holding back because
I wasn't gonna watch it anyways.
Oh man,
he always does that though.
But sometimes if it sounded really like if I was really into it, I would be like, okay, I'm gonna watch it now. But it doesn't do it for me. I'm not. Boom. Now you've saved me the time of like watching that.
That's what he did. I was telling them all about DC Rebirth and some of the good things about it. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm not going to read it.
Because you were so passionate about it, I don't want you to feel bad. So I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. But in my head, I'm like, I don't give a shit.
That's why you need to hold back a little bit. You never know. Maybe one day he'll just run out of things to look at on his phone and he'll be like, I'm gonna go and look at the Prestige.
No, I can just watch like the Breakfast Club again, you know?
He wants what he knows now. He doesn't want anything new.
Yeah, that's right.
At what point does that happen? Like, how old do you are?
I'm weird.
But like,
people want to travel the world. I just want to stay home. Like, you know, like, people think I'm such a weirdo. But I'm just like, just stay home. You know, don't watch new stuff.
I'm there already.
No. Yeah.
But I mean, like, when it comes to, like, you're just...
But I'm thinking, like, I think people always... There's people that always want new stuff. Like, they're... Mm. But I'm just like, I don't know. I've seen enough movies. And I'm like, I'll just watch those again for the rest of my life. I don't know.
How many movies do you need to watch? Yeah, after 100,
they're mostly formulaic anyway. So they have the same plot points. If you've seen 7 movies, you've seen all of them, right? You see, any action movie is going to be the same thing.
Martin, you agree? He's there.
No, there's the same plot points. I agree to that, but there's aspects of movies that...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a movie watcher, so I can't say that...
I'm not saying you shouldn't watch movies. I just don't want to watch them.
Yeah.
As we list our favorite...
I don't want to be in these movies I've already seen.
All right, Martin.
All right, so I won't talk to Rocky because you already brought up Rocky too.
You can do it. Why not?
Well, he's got backup.
I got backup.
Yeah, this is Rocky.
I got
one.
Backup, but I'll just Rocky one. Only reason
not five
is not
not V.
Absolutely.
Rocky V.
I think that was the worst ending when I was kidding.
The best.
The best. No, okay, so Rocky won very quickly, just because he ends up losing.
Yeah.
Right? But it wasn't, his opponent was not Apollo Creed. His opponent was himself getting out of the situation that he was. And at the end of the film, I think that he got that respect that he never got before. And he earned that respect. And he had everything against him. He was poor. He had bad reputation. And he had that one shot, and he took that shot. And he made the most out of that shot. And you know, it's Rocky, man. It's an amazing movie. But we're not talking about Rocky.
Oh, right? Rocky doesn't count?
We're not talking about Rocky.
You're like, that's not my pick, but I'll just talk about it.
Throw Rocky out there. Rocky's account. But this one does count.
Okay.
Because Shane is here, I'm going to talk about it again.
Let's do it. Wait, it can't be on like...
1994.
Waterworld.
Natalie Portman.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hidden gem, I hear.
Hidden gem and best ending. Jean Reno, Gary Oldman, Leon the Professional. Have you guys seen this?
The Professional?
The Professional.
I know the poster. Is the guy wearing a Scully with glasses?
Little glasses,
like this?
Yes. Yeah. That's him. That's the Professional.
He was in Godzilla.
Yes, he was.
And that movie's so bad.
Yes, he was.
You don't like Godzilla?
Yes, he was.
That woman, Matthew Broderick, it's terrible.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I got to...
Rocky
Jean.
It's. I wanted to like it so much. I love the soundtrack.
The Puff Daddy song?
Not that so much. The No Shelter by Rage Against the Machine. I was like, I can get behind this. Anyways, sorry.
Okay.
So Professional is good.
So yeah, it's got a great ending. So the way, I don't know how you guys picked your favorite endings, just because it made the way it made you feel, or
combination of like, I was gonna talk about that, how everyone picked their favorite endings. I was just gonna pick ones that were resonated with me.
Okay.
Growing up, that I'm like, I just love or remember that fondly, because I could pick the ones that were like the smartest, like that's the actual best. But right. I said, let me just go with ones that, if I pick ones that are personal, no one else might have them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm kind of the same, where it's like the way it hits you, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have some of those on my list, but this one is similar to Seven, right? Because the whole movie is kind of leading up to this one little point, and it's so subtle. So the idea of the Professional is he's a professional hitman. He's on his own. He doesn't have family. He has no roots. He has a routine that he does every day. He gets up, he does his sit-ups, and he drinks his glass of milk, and he goes and he gets his envelope, and he finds out if he's got a kill, and he sets up his kill, and he does it. All of a sudden, Natalie Portman character comes into his life, and she becomes the distraction, the girl that he doesn't want to protect, but ends up protecting, and she becomes part of his so-called family. All along the movie, all he has is sort of himself. He sleeps on a mattress, and he has this little plant that he carries around everywhere. So he's going from hotel room to hotel room, and he has this plant. And Natalie Portman at one point asks him, why don't you ever plant that plant? Like, he goes, because I don't have roots, right? I don't have roots. I'm always on the move. Anyway, long story short, his character dies. He gets killed. Natalie Portman wants to now become a hitman, but she's talked out of it. She goes to the school, and she ends up planting the plant at the school, and basically saying, well, now we have roots and we have a family.
Did you cry?
A little bit.
Yeah. Get allergies.
But it was so poignant, right? Because it was that one point where in his life he had nothing, but he was his job. And then he finally got a family. And she became that family piece to him, and that little plant was sort of it kind of said everything about that situation, where he would just carry it around in this little pot, and then finally he was able to plant his roots, even though he died, but he finally was able to have that family he never had. So that was the end. I thought it was really cool.
Kind of reminds me of a Marvel movie that recently came out. I'm not going to mention it because I think Martin has that on his list, perhaps.
You have Logan? Oh, we also talked about, like, on the episode we did where, like, Logan is basically, like, Unforgiven.
It is.
Yeah. Did you end up watching it, Logan?
No. I will watch it.
Will you watch that one?
I do want to see that, yeah.
Yeah, that's worthwhile.
Because it doesn't look like a comic book movie.
Oh, I'm about to spoil it in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Right guy to do it with.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix right now.
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
I actually didn't put Unforgiven on my list of best endings, even though it is. Because we really talked about it already, but like that's such a great ending, right?
It is
like,
a great ending.
You're not a big Western. You got to watch Unforgiven.
Yeah, I've seen it.
We got to watch the Samurai one. The Ken Watanabe. Yes. I didn't realize that came out. They did an Unforgiven, but it's Samurai and Ken Watanabe as the Clint Eastwood character. Oh, it came out in like 2013.
Which is interesting because all of those movies are based on Samurai movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
We should do a movie night of Logan with the guy who'd want to talk through it since you've seen it like 5 times and I've seen it a bunch of times.
I guess.
All right. All right, Shane.
Oh, there's what so many got? Good ones. Okay. I'm wondering if I should keep doing silly or should I do a little bit more? Okay. Have you guys, it's not a great movie, but the ending is, you guys are big fans of like the Alien franchise?
Yes.
Alien 3.
You always get to pick 3.
But that ending is like, because
I've never seen 3, I've seen the first
one. So the first one's great, it's like a horror movie essentially,
David,
right?
David Fincher though.
Yeah.
Another David
No,
Fincher.
Isn't it Ridley Scott?
3, I thought it was Fincher.
Oh, no, sorry, but I mean like the first one is like a horror movie.
Yeah.
The second one's an action movie. It's Aliens. James Cameron did Aliens, yep. Right? And then the third one, I remember being a kid being like so into Aliens, being like, this is going to be cool. And she ends up, after the second movie, she gets launched into space. She ends up on, like, it's like a prison planet. I think it's all male prisoners. Mm-hmm. And then her and Sigourney Weaver shaves her head. And then partway through the movie, you find out that she actually has like been implanted with an alien. So she's got one inside of her. Mm-hmm. And they want to get her to like, they want like samples to keep the alien baby. And she, at the very end anyway, basically she ends up committing suicide, jumping into this like lava pit. And as she's going down, the alien starts bursting out of her chest and she grabs it and like holds it almost like a baby. But at the same time, she's holding it so that they can't get it to have like a sample of the alien so that like it dies with her. And it's just like, it's the visual of it. You're like, it's so weird because she's like, it's a gross alien, but she's almost cradling it like a baby at the same time. And you're like, it's such a cool ending.
It's like a slow motion shot too or something.
Yeah. Like the movie itself isn't really good and it kind of drags on. But like that ending, you're just like, holy lord, that's so cool.
What year did that come out? Was that like 93, 94?
Something like that, early 90s.
Yeah. I remember as a kid seeing like trailers for it and it was like a big deal.
And then I didn't see the fourth one, but I think in the fourth one, they do somehow have like a blood sample of her when she had the alien in her. Mm-hmm. So they clone her, so she's kind of like a super strong alien Sigourney Weaver. Mm. Something like that. I didn't watch it, but that's what I heard.
Is it actually called Aliens 4?
Yes.
No, Alien Resurrection? I think it's called Resurrection.
The fourth one? Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, Alien 3.
Yeah, but she's like a hybrid alien.
Yeah.
We have the aliens.
We do.
How come we've never seen this before?
We've watched the first two. Is Alien 3 kind of like Godfather 3? Like the first two are the classics and the third one is kind of like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Now there is
But the ending's good.
There is another cut, which you might have. It's called the Fincher cut, but apparently is a lot better than the theatrical one that came out.
You could probably just watch the ending on YouTube.
Or you could do that.
I don't know this for sure, but you probably can.
Podcast. Yeah.
That sounds kind of like another, not exactly, but reminds me of another movie in the 90s, early 90s, of someone going to molten lava.
That was going to be on my list too, but I feel like the Alien one is better. The thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's such a good movie, but it's like...
Yeah.
Is that on your list?
No.
That's a good one, though.
I thought about that. I have a good one, though. Like, I know that James Cameron didn't do the first Alien, but I feel like Alien and Terminator kind of follow that same mold where the first one is almost like a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Then the second one is just a great action
movie. Different movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third one stinks.
Well,
yeah, and then the rest of the franchise, you're like, you don't need to see anymore.
But same with Terminator, right?
That's what I'm saying, with Terminator.
Oh, yeah, with Terminator, yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The first one, you're like, this is a horror.
This is
haunting them.
A suspense horror
but
movie,
Terminator 2 is one of the best action movies of all time.
It so holds up.
Yeah, I love that. And then you watch the third one, you're like...
Why?
Oh, it's a female, and she can make, like, what, a helicopter out of her leg or something? You're like, this is stupid.
Yeah, it was dumb. Did you guys like the most recent one where they try to, like, redo the first movie, certain scenes in it, where he's, like, in that world facing himself? Did you see it?
I haven't watched
it. Genesis?
The latest?
Genesis.
No,
Genesis.
I didn't
Genesis?
See it. I actually haven't seen the last two.
Was it a young Sarah Connors? Or...
It's a young Sarah Connor, but they kind of do like this time warp thing where they actually revisit the first movie.
Okay.
It's it starts off kind of interesting, like
I think
cool
it'd be neat,
concept,
actually.
And then but then it kind of like
is it scenes from the first movie?
It feels like it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Don't get me started about Terminator. I get so mad about the fact that Reese is John Connor's father. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
How could he send him back in time if he wasn't born yet from his dad?
Right?
It pisses me off.
Yeah.
James Cameron just had to make him the dad of John Connor. It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
The past has to happen before the future.
Yeah, it's a paradox.
Yes, it's so stupid.
I wish they didn't.
I love time travel stuff. So you make these arbitrary rules, then they break them. You're like, no, that can't happen.
And it depends which movie, too, made your time travel rules. Like,
yeah.
For me, it was Back to the Future.
Yeah, he fades away slowly. You're like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but when those are like the things like, okay, this is how, in my mind, the first idea of time travel is. When someone breaks, you're like, no, that doesn't work because this movie set the rules for it.
That would make sense.
Yeah. All right. My turn. All right. I think someone else is going to take it, so I'm going to say it first. This is my favorite all-time ending to a movie.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily my favorite.
Rocky V?
No. Close. Close. But it's that feeling of just utter fulfillment and joy after being put through the ringer the whole movie. And then you get this moment where you see Morgan Freeman walk up to Andy Dufresne on the beach. And if you know that the Tim Robbins goes through all of that work for so many years to plan his way out and literally like goes through crap, and when you see him free, you feel the joy. And when he like exposes the warden and but then when Morgan Freeman has all those little clues that lead him and they're like reunited, where he said like I'll be here one day. It's just so fulfilling to see the two free men.
Yeah, because they also they set it up too where that other guy gets paroled, and he's just like living in a new world, and he like ends up hanging himself.
Yeah,
he can't deal with it. And you're like, it makes you feel so hopeless, and then when you it makes it that much stronger at the end. Yeah,
yeah. So to
you didn't even say the name. It's Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption.
In case someone hasn't seen it.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like
that was spoiled.
That was spoiled. That's right. Oh. Shawshank Redemption. That's a hard movie to sit through. It's such a good,
it's great
movie, but when the ending just like so fulfilling, like you feel good after it's all said and done.
Yeah, I feel like that's one that. So there's certain movies that sort of have like a twist or a big reveal like that at the end where I feel like once you see it, I don't want to say it because it might be on your list or whatever, but like a good ending like that and you see it and you're like, I don't want to rewatch it ever again though.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's a movie where you're like, yeah, that's fucking cool. It's such, but it's so great. Tim Robbins, Morgan Freeman, so good.
Yeah, that I can watch pretty frequently.
Yeah, that's like one on like everyone's top movie list, right? Like,
yeah.
That's such a good movie.
Yeah, that's my favorite all-time ending to a movie. Just because I feel so fulfilled.
Even this, like, he has to go through that pipe full of, like, shit. And
yeah.
It's, like, the bar of soap. And
Morgan
like,
Freeman.
It's, like, it's literally, like, so cathartic. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But to, like, when you see him walking in the middle of nowhere, and he's like, could this possibly be, like, I've found all these little things he's left behind. What are the chances he'd be here? It's not like the time with cell phone or you can
email.
Hoping.
Yeah, you're hoping.
You know, and he walks and he's like, he actually...
It's good.
Like, imagine Tim Robbins being like, you made it.
Yeah.
And the other guy, you're actually here. Like, that's great.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
All right. Let's change the order. You go first this time and we'll bring it around that way.
Okay. Why are you so into that?
I think it's cool.
Just
mix it up.
Okay. So how many... Like,
this is your third one.
This is my third one?
Yeah.
Wow, this is going to be a long episode. Okay, I'm going to go with... what am I going to go with here? I'm going to go with one because I feel like it might be on other people's list too. So I'm going to do the same type of mentality. This one is like... It's such an obvious one, but... it kind of blew my mind where, so mine's not Fight Club, but you guys have seen Fight Club. It might be on your list too, but I remember,
I love Fight Club.
I had it spoiled for, I was in high school and I overheard someone talking about it and then they were like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. So when I watched it, I remember going the whole time I was like, I know the twist of this, right?
Yes.
But I remember people going crazy about The Sixth Sense. But I didn't know why. I didn't know. Like, it was at the point where M. Night Shyamalan, whatever his name is, he wasn't... Shyamalan, like, that was his first big movie, right? And So I remember everyone saying The Sixth Sense was so good. I remember watching it. I was like sitting alone at home. I was like a teenager and watching it. And like, it's getting towards the end. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of cool. But like, why does everyone like this movie so much? I don't get it. And then like when that, when you find out the twist that he's been dead the whole time, I was like, holy shit. I was like, mom, like, you know, like I wanted to tell everyone. And I was like, so that's when I like blew my mind. Yeah. But that's, like, it's weird and cliche to say, like, an M. Night Shyamalan movie or whatever.
The twist, but...
He just became obsessed with, like, doing the twist. And that's not even my favorite of his movies, that ending, I remember being like, oh, my God, that's nuts. Like, that blew my mind.
Unbreakable is another good one for that twist, are they? But, yeah, that was great. I was watching it in the theater, and my wife, Sue, has this uncanny way of figuring things out really fast. Literally 2 minutes into the film, she leans over to me and says, oh, he's dead. And I was like, and then I'm looking at him like, oh.
She didn't get the same experience.
No, that I had. Yeah. It was like literally 2 minutes in, and she didn't see the movie, but she figured it out. And I'm like,
What tipped her off? That
I don't know.
Well, it opens with that scene where he gets shot, right? And then you're like, oh, he recovered from it.
Right.
But he didn't recover. He died at that point. You just don't, as the viewer, you don't realize it till the very end, right?
Okay.
They also set it up with, like, the kids seeing all the dead people. But the dead people aren't really, like, articulate in talking with him and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of, you know, a lot of them are, like, zombie-like.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't ever, you don't, like, and also, your wife's probably way smarter. She probably figures out, like, riddles and stuff. Stupid.
She's crazy.
Though. I never figure out anything. So I was just like, oh, my God. But, like, they're probably...
it's a great ending, though.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Do you think it has that replay value for you, even though
that's
one of them that...
Yeah, and there's another one that I don't want to say because it might be on one of your lists, too, that had a great reveal, but it just, like, I'm like, I don't ever want to watch it again. There's another M. Night Shyamalan, like, his movie Signs, I think, is, like, such a good movie.
Yeah.
But The Sixth Sense, I'm like, yeah, even Unbreakable, I really wanted to like it, but I'm like, as a comic book fan, I was telling myself I like it more than I did, and I'm just like, I don't really want to watch it.
I almost made my list.
Yeah?
Yeah, I
like that. I didn't want to put his movies on, because, like, then he just became, everything's just a twist with him, right?
Where it's yeah.
Like, anyway. So we're going back to you, then.
So it's me?
What, you got Unbreakable there?
No, I got Sixth Sense on here, though. So that's okay. We got backups.
I would like you to have a highlighter and, like, and a mark and cross them off.
Cross them off? Angrily. It's like, yeah. It's like, okay, let me think. So, ones that you might have seen or might not have seen. I know one for sure you've all seen. So let's do that one. Empire Strikes Back.
That was on my list, but yes.
It's on your list.
But it's
holy shit, I never even considered that the whole time. That's like one of the best.
Four reasons.
Oh, four.
Four reasons.
I love it.
Number one.
I love the reasons.
The reveal, I am your father.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from Empire Strikes Back. Number two, there is another. Is also said right at the end of there. Three.
You smooched her.
Han Solo. That's right.
Pervert.
Yeah. Han Solo gets taken away in Carbonite. We don't know what happens to him. And the last one is pretty much the only one where the Empire actually wins.
Yeah.
Fantastic film, right? I think of all the Star Wars. I mean, the first Star Wars movie was a complete film, right?
Yeah. You didn't really need another one.
You didn't need another one. It starts out, it ends, big bad is gone, whatever. This one has so many almost loose ends, but it's kind of good in a way because there are some reveals and there's some things that make you want more.
And wasn't it like this 5 years before the next one? Yeah. Like, there's a long way. That's a big
This came out in 80 and Jedi came out in like 83, was it? Yeah, 3 years. It filled like forever.
Oh my gosh.
Because I saw all these in the theater, even Star Wars 79, right? 77. 79? 77.
77.
Like yeah. I saw all these in the theater. And this one blew my mind, though.
I wasn't born yet.
No.
for
an old man.
For Empire?
I was born in 82, so...
Okay, yeah.
Apparently, no one in the movie knew that was going to be the I Am
the
Your
actors?
Father. Yeah.
Oh, really?
The only people that knew was the voice actor and Hamill.
Hamill must have known.
They said
but
to...
But they told him, I think, the second he was going to, like, do the shot.
Oh, yeah?
No one knew.
Not no. even David Prowse? Is that the guy's name who plays Vader? David Prowse?
David Prowse plays in the suit.
In the suit.
Yeah. And James Earl Jones does the
voice. I read a thing. Yeah. I don't know if it's true for real. It was on Instagram the other day. The guy who played Vader, David Prowse.
Yes.
He found out that they were doing a voiceover for his voice. So apparently he just started talking like gibberish. Like he was just like blah blah blah. I'm like,
oh really?
Like something didn't make sense because he was like, they're not, it didn't matter anyways.
I think yeah.
He I don't was, know if that's true, but I read that
he
the
was
other day.
Pretty surprised and disappointed when he found out that they were gonna do a voiceover. But if you ever hear the original like takes with him doing the voice, it was horrible.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that is a great ending. And then like the end where he's like hanging on to that
antenna,
like it feels so hopeless, right?
Yeah, like where
I just
you,
thought
you
gonna... of him, I can't believe I didn't put it on my list, but it's okay.
Do you?
Yeah, how did I thought out of James Earl Jones?
Do you like, think what the Lion King?
Okay. Conan.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
Destroyer, isn't he the Destroyer?
No,
James Earl
one.
Jones? He's in The Barbarian?
No, he's Tulsa Doom. No, he's, Tulsa Doom in the first one.
Oh, I thought he was the Destroyer.
He's the one who kills his family, and I guess, anyway.
But do you think Empire would be, I feel like they have that scene where you see Luke get his new hand and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I wish they didn't show that until the next one. You know what I mean? Like, where he shows up on Tatooine and be like, yeah, cool, I got a new hand or something. But,
yeah.
Like, if it was, it's in that like despair, you're still kind of like, oh, there's hope. Still.
There's just,
you know
what I mean? But where, all like, this stuff is swimming through your. What did I just see? Right?
And yeah, then, I guess. I just feel like it should have ended
just
so
hanging
like,
off.
They're
the
saving
end there.
Him and missing his hand.
Yep.
And then that's it.
And
then
that's
later
it.
You see his new hand. I don't know. I feel like that part almost takes away from it a little bit.
I think they wanted some closure.
Yeah.
In case it didn't do very well, but yeah, they wanted some kind of closure. But I think the opening scene of Jedi though, when you see it so much later, and then you see the new Luke who's like super powerful Luke,
yeah,
like walking through and doing all like the Jedi mind tricks and stuff.
But he's still like not that good of a Jedi, right? Like his plan to save like Han is like the worst.
Oh, he's the best.
No,
like, oh, he's the best.
Like I remember seeing a thing the other day on Instagram too, and it was like Anakin like in his prime, like in Revenge of the Sith versus Luke and Jedi, and you're like. Anakin all day, like Luke's kind of shit. Like, that whole saving Han plan stinks. Like he did not plan this very
beat up,
well.
He just beat up on Vader. That's pretty big.
I don't know, man. Like he still kind of looks like a puss at the end. Like he's just like, oh yeah, how about some lightning? And he's like, I don't want to fight my dad. Like what a wuss. Like you want to do this badass Jedi? In my mind, he was like the greatest, and then I've rewatched it. And I'm like, he really is not that good of a Jedi.
But I think that's just all retroactive, right? Because of what they were able to do at the time, and then what.
Like, it's not about the effects or anything. Like the scene, like it's just a bad plan. He just like goes
no,
the job, and he's like, yeah, all right, arrest me.
I guess it's to throw them off.
They
completely,
keep raising the bar,
right?
After that,
yeah,
I think.
For sure,
right? Like you see a Darth Maul,
but
right?
There's also a thing like, to it because like if you they figure out the how long Luke would have actually trained with Yoda, and it was like. A couple days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it makes sense that he wouldn't be like this Jedi master.
That
right?
was always
like,
the thing that kind of bothered me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like he spent a weekend with the guy, did a couple of exercises, and I'm back to finish my training. He's like, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, that was a weekend.
No, because he leaves to go save Han and thing. And then he comes back.
And then
he's
comes
like
back.
That. So it's like, he really didn't train that long compared to how long a Jedi would train for, right?
You really think it was. Wasn't that long? I thought it was...
They did the math because while it's a simultaneous story, like, so the Han and Leia thing's happening, and they're like, this would take this many days, so you're like, he basically trained with Yoda for, like, a week at the most. Like,
Did he go back after they Han was captured?
But Yoda's dying. He doesn't get trained
just
anymore.
He went to go finish, but he doesn't.
No, but I'm saying in between the films, did he perhaps go back for a little longer?
Of course not. Then it wouldn't be as good when he's dying.
I'm sure they're going to make a comic book explaining that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to say he did go back.
In the films, he doesn't, though.
This is why I like the prequels. Like, I don't like the prequels more than the originals, but everyone's always like, oh, I like the originals because, you know, it's, like, grounded and more realistic. And then George Lucas just saw these crazy, like, CGI effects. But, like, when you see Anakin cut off Dooku's hands, you're like, those hands are gone. You see Luke get his hand cut off. You're like, his hand's in his sleeve. Like, come on. You know what I mean? That's where people like shit on the prequels. I'm like, yeah, but like the prequels are better in that sense. Come on. Like, Jabba the Hutt looks way cooler with the special effects than like the googly-eyed puppet.
I like the puppets.
But not the Jabba the Hutt. And not the Yoda. The CGI Yoda looks
way better.
Yoda's
amazing.
The CGI
I like the Yoda.
Actually, CGI
Jabba
Yoda
looks too
look
shiny.
Great. Yeah.
It looked too CGI.
That's fair.
But the puppet, it was like tactile.
That's it. Yeah, there's the tactile. And I think
the thing is, I do like that, but there's certain parts where like the special
and his goober looked yucky.
Yeah.
that's
fair.
It's hard for me to imagine like
Trump.
How kids can still go back to the originals that maybe see Force Awakens or saw the prequels, let's say, and they go back and they're still like the original Star Wars. It's impressive.
I think not everyone, but I think there'd be a lot of kids that grow up with iPads and stuff like that. They go like, that looks trash.
That looks stupid, yeah.
But it's the same way that we can go back and watch, you know, Psycho. And you're like, it's still a great movie.
It is.
Even though it's not.
Almost made my list.
Yeah.
I saw him check. He's Psycho. Like,
All right, Daff.
Your turn.
I'm gonna go with my man. Batman Begins.
Have to have Batman in every episode.
at the very end, when Lieutenant Gordon says, "We got this guy that likes a thing for the theatrics."
Oh yes.
And that Joker card gets flipped.
Okay.
My God. And then he's like, yeah. "I'll look into it."
That was exciting.
It's like, oh my goodness, they're gonna come together. It's happened. It was like happening right before me.
It was a good prep to get you anticipating the next.
It was the longest. What was it? A year? However long it took. It was a long time. It felt forever.
2005, then 2008.
Oh my goodness.
I fell asleep during Batman Begins. So boring.
I thought like an apocalypse was gonna come before that movie.
Him like training to be Batman for so long. You're like, Jesus, can you just be Batman already? Like, I literally fell asleep.
Really? Did you like Batman, like Dark Knight?
No. It's so long and boring. It's like two movies. Like, Joker dies and it goes on for like another hour. You're like, what is this? It was about Joker. Now it's about Harvey Dent. Like, oh my God.
Joker doesn't die.
Doesn't Joker die?
No. He's just hanging, laughing maniacally upside down.
Are you sure you saw the same movie?
But it goes on for a long time.
It's a long
movie. It feels like two movies. Like, there's a whole Joker thing, and then it just becomes about, like, Harvey Dent.
There is
the
that.
The Joker's no longer in it at this point.
The Joker's still in it. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of the one who inspires or motivates Harvey.
He orchestrated the whole thing.
See, I like the worst of franchises. I like the one with Bane. I thought that one was way better. Bane was so cool.
He's a keeper, this one. I love it.
Batman Begins, we'll
never have the same things on our list.
Yeah, never.
I hate origin tales. Like, they always feel like they have to explain everything right away. And like the Batman Begins, they're showing this like him training as Bruce Wayne. Like, you don't see Batman for so long. Where
that's true.
Like the first, like I don't like it that much. But the first, the Tim Burton Batman, it opens with a scene of Batman fighting, and then they go back and do the flashback of like his parents dying. And so, but like immediately, you're kind of like, okay, cool, Batman. This one, I'm like, where is he in the fucking Himalayas? Like, where's Batman? Like, what's going on here? It takes so long.
I think the thing I liked about that movie, though, in regards to origin stories, as opposed to every other superhero origin story, is that you've never seen a Batman real origin other than his parents dying.
Yeah.
And then he grows up one day, makes an oath, but you never see that process.
Yeah.
That training.
I don't want to see that.
But in his case, because it was never done.
He said he doesn't have the patience for it.
No, that's fine.
I literally fell
asleep.
He's
the guy that goes to the back of the book. Yeah. I'm just like, I want to know what happened.
That was actually a good reveal. The
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul. I thought that was a good one.
I think that's where I woke up. I was like, oh, yeah. That's okay.
Mad Max.
It's not Liam Neeson. Okay.
I like that pick, though. Batman Begins is a good one.
Yeah,
with the Joker
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's good.
That was good. Who is it? Back to me. Okay, my iPad restarted. Let me just log back. Okay. You pick Batman Begins. I don't have any of Martin's because his are all. You know, I'm gonna go with something lighthearted. I'm gonna go with a childhood, one of my childhood favorite movies. It's a sports movie. It's not Mighty Ducks.
Come From Behind Win?
Okay.
Not a Come From Behind Win. No, it's just a feel-good movie.
Sylvester Stallone?
No. No, not Sylvester
Stallone. Fight in the Alley with Tommy Gunn?
No. No.
Sandlot.
It's The Sandlot.
It is The Sandlot!
The Sandlot is so good. I forgot about The Sandlot.
Yeah, The Sandlot.
Everyone loves The Sandlot.
It's just one of, no matter what, it's always feels good to watch it. It always takes you back to a, I mean, I didn't live in the 60s, but that mm-hmm. That concept of living in the 60s with your buddies, just to go outside and play baseball all summer, mm-hmm. is just so appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think every young man loves the Sandlot.
Right?
Yeah.
And Lady J.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's a great feel-good movie, and a kid, you know, trying to find himself who doesn't really fit in his mm-hmm. new neighborhood, but someone takes him under his wing, gives him a proper baseball cap when yeah. he's wearing that
proper glove, right? He has proper a plastic glove,
right? All of those things. But my favorite moment was when he's calling the game and then they tip the hat to each other and he's still got the big ugly yeah. as sin hat, but you see them grown up and they're still friends and recognize those little things where you have like a childhood friend that when you're a grown man that you can still have that connection with them. I don't know. It's just one of those moments yeah. where it like, comes full circle.
I like when they save the beast yeah. and they find out that Hercules is not a child-eating monster.
No, yeah. But that whole...
Because the whole there was a mythos behind that whole, like, the thing, right? Yeah. Like, he's like, there's a monster. They're terrified of him. Yeah. Yeah. But then the reveal is that he's just a lovable pup.
He's a big yeah. slobbery... And to see some bull master, right?
Yeah. And dude yeah. was played for the Yankees, and he had a ball with all his signatures.
Is it Hank Aaron? Is that the guy, the no, blind guy?
No, it's a guy who, well, James Earl Jones is the guy, but he was another somebody.
James Earl Jones.
Another James Earl Jones call, yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot the story, but he had played with Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
But I guess it was the era where colored people,
yeah.
I don't know if they
could. And he's blind, right?
Yeah, he got hit in the head.
With the ball.
With the ball.
Yeah.
Did when they started being so focused on getting the ball, did that take you out of the movie for a bit? Because I had a lot of fun watching them actually play baseball.
No, that's where the movie's supposed to go. That's the climax. You're like, Baby Ruth. He doesn't know who Baby Ruth is. It's so good.
Oh, that's Babe Ruth?
Yeah.
The Sultan of SWAT? Yeah, that's hilarious.
I love it.
I remember watching it as a kid, and all their ideas of trying to get the ball, like, that was, like, I felt it was, like, a long, like, it was a big part of the movie, but then watching as an adult, it's not that long. They just, like, tried, like, 3 times or something, and then they gave up.
And then, yeah, Benny gets the Converse. Is it Converse that he mm-hmm. had? Mm-hmm. What kind of shoes were they? That's so funny. Make him think, like, these are the things yeah. that are going to make yeah. me do it.
Yeah, but it's also, like, I don't know about you guys, but as a young kid with my friends, like, we got into a lot of stupid shit, and did things where, like, oh, no, like, we can't let our parents find out about this. And, like, that's, like, he's got to get the ball back, the Babe Ruth
yeah.
ball.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's so good.
The hijinks. What was your favorite line from that movie? Is there anything that or a character that stands out?
I love the kid who fakes so that he can make out with the lifeguard.
What's his name? Winks?
Winks, yeah. yeah. But yeah, they're all good.
Yeah.
The s'mores, like, the yeah. s'mores, like, and like Small is such a dork. And he's like, how can I have some more? I haven't had one yet. And you're like, you're a fucking idiot. Like,
you're killing me, Small.
Yeah. The fat ginger kid's cool. The back hatcher, too. He's pretty funny.
He was in Heavyweights, wasn't he?
No, he's not. But he is in other stuff. He's in a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a good pick, yeah. All right.
Pick.
Is it me now?
Yeah, we'll go back
to you. Where are we at? How many have we all done?
Four.
Oh, four.
So I've done four? So this is my last one? This is my fourth.
This is your fourth.
Oh, it's so hard to pick.
There's so many more.
We can do some honorable mentions. A two-parter, 100.1 100.2.
Yeah, we could do it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm gonna go. I got three left, but I have only two picks left. But I'll just do like Martin and just do like go. This doesn't count. But
I did a cheat one.
Yeah. Do you guys ever watch
Rocky? Rocky.
This is another Stallone. I love Stallone. You watch the Rambo series?
Yes.
It's like First Blood is a good film.
Yes.
Rambo 2 and 3 are terrible. Like they're just crazy stupid action movies. But did you guys see the one that came out in 2008, John Rambo, like the fourth one?
It's just John Rambo, right?
Yeah. It's so good.
It's crazy violent.
It's so violent.
So violent, yeah.
And the last, I just love it, like the last... I
can't remember how it ends.
The last half hour, I don't think a word is spoken. It's just Rambo killing people for like 25 minutes, and then just the credits roll. And it's just like the best ending. I love. Like he literally is like, God. There's a part where he.
I just thought of another one when you were saying that
one. What?
Predator.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
But it's like, with the mud, he finds
the explosion.
But there's a part in John Rowe where he gets, there's a guy, they have like the odds are stacked against him, and he's taking on this whole, like, army. And it's supposed to be in, like Laos or, like, Cambodia, but it's clearly just, like, the Philippines. And there's a part where these guys have, like, a big, giant machine gun in a Jeep, and Rambo gets it and, like, turns it on the driver and just, like, liquefies the driver with his,
it's crazy. It's, I saw it in the theater. I was like,
but it's,
my jaw was like, what is
But when you watch Rambo 2 and 3,
this is violent.
The movie, like, it's almost, like, do you remember, like Hot Shots, where they made fun of Rambo.
Yes.
Like, they're almost not even like making fun of it. Like, it's almost like it's so cartoonish.
Yeah.
But when you watch John Rambo, insane. It's like very realistic violence. And like when he, like, that guy, he guts him and like his fucking intestines fall out. And you're like, but you hate him so much. You're just like, yeah, kill that guy.
I'm so happy what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's
coming out, so is that your pick or is that your honorable mention?
Yeah. That's why I'm doing the same. All right, go.
That's why Martin cheated. You already did. You cheated.
No.
Okay. Did you guys ever see Hot Rod with Andy Samberg?
No.
It came out in 2007. Have you seen it?
Is that the race car one? No.
No, he's a crappy stuntman.
Yes,
he thinks his dad's like an evil Knievel type stuntman, right?
That's actually funny.
And his father or stepfather is Ian McShane. And the premise of it is that he's this shitty stuntman, and then he always has these fights with his stepdad to prove he's a man, but his stepdad always just beats the shit out of him. Like, and so he finds out like his stepdad's sick and dying, and he's like, "But I haven't beat him up yet. Like, I haven't proved him a man." They're like, "Well, too late. Like, you're a little pussy. You'll never be a man." So he basically does all this fundraising to get his stepfather. Like, I don't know, he needs a new kidney or something. They don't really even explain. Just like, they raise like 50 grand to get his stepfather. And like, the whole movie's him doing these crappy stunts. And then they do a big, like, he jumps like 15 school buses or something like that. And they end up raising the money. And he gets like the operation for his stepdad and like makes him healthy. And the end scene is like, they're having a barbecue picnic. And they're so happy that the stepdad's like healthy again. And then it's just Rod and his dad just beating the shit out of each other. Like, just so violently beating each other up. And everyone's like, pull them apart. And they're like, no, just let him go. And like, his whole thing was to get him healthy again so he could beat the shit out of him. And then at the end, he finally like beats him. And then he's just like, you're a man. He's like, I am a man. And then he does this move to make him shit his pants. And like, it's such a like fun, nice, like, I think that movie's so underrated and funny. But like, the whole plot is just him to get him healthy so he can beat the shit out of him. And so when it like ends, you're like, yeah, he raised the money, they're gonna do it. And then you get that like little scene where you're like, oh yeah, he still has to like beat up his dad. And it's just this great, it's awesome.
He's letting the rage out at the end between Rambo and beating up his dad.
It's just so funny, like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's so funny the way they like just beat the shit out of each other.
That was the one we were always laughing at the preview because he was saying "whet."
Yeah.
Oh, whet.
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
There's a scene where he's like, the safe word will be whiskey. He's like, what? He's like, whiskey. He's like, why are you saying it that way? He's like, why am I saying what way? He's like, forget about it. He's like, I will forget about it. The whole scene. And that's when the first, you guys know Danny McBride? Yeah, he's in like those like Seth Rogen movies. He's in Pineapple Express and like
yeah.
That's the first. He almost steals Hot Rod. Like, Hot Rod's so good, but it's like Bill Hader, Andy Samberg, Danny McBride. It's amazing.
So Hot Rod, put that on the list.
You gotta watch it. It's so funny.
See someone beat up your dad.
It's awesome.
All right, Martin.
All right.
How can you choose?
I wrote a big quote here, so I'm gonna do this one.
All right.
You wrote a big quote.
I wrote a quote. Okay. We're going to talk about Logan for a minute.
Let's talk about it.
So this is this one's a hard one because it's a big setup for the movie. So I'm going to try to hit all the points. Basically, Logan starts off. He's a shell of his former self. Far future. He's an alcoholic. He's not a hero anymore. He's a reluctant gunslinger in a way. He's hiding a secret, which is Professor X, who has now like has some sort of Alzheimer's disease. So he's actually an issue for humanity because he could actually cause people to die, and he's actually had a big problem where he's killed a bunch of people and he's trying to hide them away. Anyway, he dies.
Xavier dies?
Xavier dies.
Right away?
halfway through the movie.
Oh, spoiler alert.
And, yeah, this is a big spoiler. Jeez. Yeah, this is going to be huge. So along the way, before Xavier dies, he again is the reluctant gunslinger. He tries to help X-23. So X-23 is a young girl who was created to be a weapon, right? Weapon X or Weapon X-23. So he's trying to get her to safety. Along the way, he's starting to sort of get his humanity back. He's sort of, you know, but he's very reluctant all the way. He has this heart-to-heart talk with X-23 where he's saying, you know, I've done a lot of bad things. And, you know, the speech from Unforgiven sort of, mm-hmm. I've done a lot of bad things. And she also said, so have I, right? She's also a killer. Mm-hmm. And along the way, there's this great scene where X-23 and Xavier are sitting in a hotel room and they're watching the movie Shane.
Ah.
And there's a great quote from Shane, which he later uses. So along their journey, basically, Wolverine kills the big bad, but in the process of killing the big bad, he dies.
Mm-hmm.
His last dying words to X-23 are, don't be what they made you. And then as his last dying words, he goes, this is what it feels like. But it leaves it off as there. So it sort of opened up to, what does it feel like to finally have a family or to be loved or to sort of come back from this awful life that he's lived? So he dies. They have this little memorial for Wolverine. And she does this little quote from Shane, the movie that they both watched together. And it says, there's no living with a killing. There's no going back from it. Right or wrong, it's a brand. It's a brand that sticks. There's no going back. Now you run on home to your mother and tell her that everything's all right and there ain't no more guns in the valley. So basically he can now find peace. The way that he's lived his life killing the whole time has molded his life. And this is sort of a very big... The quote kind of talks to his life and the end of his life. And then the last thing she does as they're about to leave the grave is they take the cross... And she turns it over and makes it an X.
Mm.
So now he's finally found his redemption and becomes the X-Men of the past, of where he was the hero. It's an awesome ending.
Yeah, it's a great movie. That's I would say it's probably the best Marvel movie.
It's fantastic. Yeah,
It's not a Marvel studio, but it's...
I want to watch it because it doesn't look like a superhero movie.
Right? No, it's a Western. Yeah. So I haven't... Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff in there that sort of builds up to it too, but those are kind of the key points. But
yeah, no, that's a well-done movie.
I was just like, oh, this is so perfect.
Poignant.
Yeah, and because it was Hugh Jackman's last movie, and it was sort of a nice ending to his career and the whole series, so...
How long has he been X-Men for?
17 years.
17 years.
2000, yeah.
Since X-Men 1 came out.
17 years, so...
Yeah.
He's done his due... He actually, even though he physically doesn't fit the description of what Wolverine's supposed to be. Yeah, but...
He's such a good Wolverine.
He's such a good Wolverine. Yeah, I agree.
I agree, because when I remember, I think originally the first X-Men movie, they had this actor, his name's Doug Ray Scott.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to play Wolverine.
Yes.
But he couldn't do it because he was doing Mission Impossible 2, I think.
He was the villain.
He's a villain. And I remember seeing Mission Impossible 2 and being like, that guy would be such a good Wolverine.
Well, he had the mutton chops and everything.
Yeah, right? Just like the way he gets angry, yeah. He just really looked like he would be a good Wolverine. I remember being like...
I remember that too.
This Hugh Jackman guy, like, he's too handsome, he's too tall. But then when you see him first, like, you know, like, go into, like, Wolverine Berserker Rage, you're like, yeah, this guy's a good Wolverine.
You only see him go really in Berserker Rage in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
There's a scene in, is it X-Men or X-Men 2, where he's, like, running through the mansion just killing dudes? Like,
up against the
fridge
and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the movie where you see him Berserker Wolverine.
Yeah.
He goes Berserker.
And they earn that spot because all along the way, like, he's lost a lot of his healing factor. Mm-hmm, that's why he's able to drink alcohol and things like that. Another spoiler, he ends up taking this super drug that sort of gives him steroids, which gives them a few moments of his past glory of being Wolverine, and he just cuts loose on everybody. And
did you ever see the way they shot him doing the voiceover for that? Because he did the action sequences and acted it out, but then to get all of the emotion in the voice, they put him in like a vocal booth watching what he was doing and just like uttering the most ferocious.
Yeah. Well, there's like, the one scene where he did, like a typical Wolverine, he just like screams and he's like.
Yeah.
Because he's in this like roid rage.
Kind of thing. It's a good berserker scene.
Yeah.
See, I found out I'm still going to watch it because it sounds pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I think you like that one.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. It just sounds terrible.
Your turn, Daphne.
It's a good ending, that movie.
I like the ending of 8 Mile.
The freestyle battle?
Mm-hmm.
Clarence loses with his parents?
Is it written?
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is that how it ends right at the battle? Yeah, it does, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It pretty much ends right at the battle. Yeah, okay. There's not much story after that.
That's it.
That's all you got?
That's what it is.
What?
Well, because the whole movie is them is him battling, right? And then him feeling like...
taking his one shot.
He has nothing left, but...
But what about people who haven't seen it that are listening to this that might want to know more about it?
I'm not an exquisite storyteller like the slam dunk.
You didn't print out quotes.
Yeah, you didn't print out quotes.
No, but what I liked about it is just that storytelling of this guy that just has a dream but everything is against him, right? And then when there's people that are using, in this case, words against him, like he's able to turn it around and, you know, stand up and say something so that then they just had to bow out and everyone had respect for him after that. But at the end of the day, like it was kind of like that Rocky moment where he didn't exactly, like, it wasn't a full victory. He still went back to his factory job, and he still lived in the trailer park kind of thing, but it was the stepping stone to what you hope comes of him after. So I liked it.
But he, if I remember, basically all the stuff that he thought they were going to use against him, he took all those things and sort of empowered himself and stole all their thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of pushed them back. So I guess that's where he kind of grew to own
these things. Yeah, he was like the ghetto poor street kid. Yeah. He was like, I actually have street cred. You guys
don't. Yeah. So he owned those things and sort of threw it back in their faces and say, you can't hurt me.
Yeah, he took that power back.
Well, because they had so much ammo against
him. The girlfriend and all this stuff.
Yeah, like there were so many things that he really shouldn't have won any battle because they had beaten him up, they'd taken his girlfriend, they had almost killed him just before that scene, right? So there were so many reasons why in a real rap battle...
he really had no business being there, especially for the simple fact that they jumped him.
Right? Yeah, they had a gun to his head.
Yeah, so he had no reason to be there, but he showed up anyway.
Yeah.
Against all odds kind of thing.
Yeah, and so, especially when his friends were like, what if they bring up this? What was his name?
Cheddar Bob.
Yeah. Do you think that when you see something, a movie like that, that that's real empowerment when a person is able to accept and even not exploit, but totally be authentic in their weakness? Like, here's where I fail. Here's where I'm weak.
Kevin Smith talks about it all the time. He literally coined like stealing thunder from people because he does a lot of self-deprecating comedy. So that people can't sort of use that against him because he already owns it, sort of thing. So, yeah, I think.
You think that that's empowering to do that,
yeah,
to be able to diffuse what people might use against you?
Yeah, because they're kind of using it as a shield, right?
Yeah. In
a way.
I think so, too. I think when you get more of, like, I think more respectability of a person who recognizes, like, here's where... these are things I need to work on, but I realize that, as opposed to people in denial of what it is that is their, I don't know, the chinks in their armor. But part of that scene, would you say, is the instrumentals they choose for them to freestyle over?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what gets you going. She was.
I was trying to make it deep, but yeah. At the end of the day, it just comes down to
the
mob deep track.
That he battles. Isn't he an actor in something? Isn't he in like the Avengers or something now?
Yeah, it's Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
Oh, is it
really?
Yeah.
Is he Falcon? Is that what?
Yeah,
he's Falcon.
Yeah, it's Falcon.
He even played Tupac in the Notorious
once,
movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that's Anthony Mackie. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. It's.
I like when you see early roles.
Did you watch All Eyes on Me, the Tupac?
No, I didn't.
I heard it's terrible.
Yeah.
I heard it's terrible too.
They make up stuff, like it's a biopic and they just lie about stuff.
I don't think that's the type of story that there's too much that happened in that person's life, Tupac's life, that to try to squeeze it into a 2-hour movie is just impossible. That's like a six episode miniseries, kind of like the OJ Simpson story. I don't know if any of you guys seen that. You guys seen that?
Trial of OJ? People versus OJ Simpson.
Does David Schwimmer play Rob Kardashian?
Yeah, but it's really, really well done.
I heard it's very good, yeah.
It's really well done. It's good. Yeah.
Are you going to spoil that one?
No. He did it.
Yeah, no, that Tupac's a character. I feel like he needs a mini series.
No, they could do it in one movie.
No, I don't think so. You think so?
Yeah, well.
Did you watch Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah.
I was surprised that they were able to fit so much into that. That was good.
Yeah. I was like, Ice Cube and Dr. Dre are going to make themselves look really cool because of the executive producers.
The only point I think they disparaged the worst was Heller. Jerry Heller.
No, but that stuff I agree with the way that, the story goes, the real life stuff seems like that's what actually happened with Jerry Heller. Mm-hmm. And, Paul Giamatti's great as it. But I'm just like, Dr. Dre was, a fucking little pussy, man. And he's, such a badass in it. And, he's getting up in the cop's face. And there's, all these... And then he's, he's always so forgiving to everyone. Eazy and Ice Cube and the thing. And I'm just like, that didn't happen. There's no way,
You don't think so?
I think that was
fabricated?
Well, I think Dr. Dre and Eazy were the executive producers of the movie, so they shed a better light on themselves for it, you know what I mean? Where they made themselves look better than they were, I think. I think there's a lot of parts where, I don't think Dr. Dre was going to go to the hospital to see Eazy-E at the end.
I think he did.
No, I don't think he did. I think no? It was
I thought I heard that he did go to the hospital.
Because you saw the movie and you're having, a revision.
No, I thought I read that he did go see them.
Dr. Dre's an asshole. He's great at what he does. Dr. Dre's a prick. He's a wife-beating prick. And in that movie, he's so, forgiving and nice to everyone. And tough. He's so tough. You're like, hey, he's a little pussy.
Well, someone didn't like Straight Outta Compton.
I liked it. I was just like, it's exactly what I thought.
Hopefully he's not listening.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre?
Sorry, doctor.
On. He's got the beats on.
I'm not sorry. He's great at what he does. He made himself look too nice in the thing.
Did you hear about Suge Knight going on the set of that movie, trying to
No.
Yeah, he actually tried to go there and...
Isn't that where he ran over two people and that's why he went back to jail?
Well, that was at the set of the thing. Yeah. I saw the video. He killed a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Suge Knight killed a guy and just got away with it.
Yeah, he went there trying to tell him, I don't want you to make my character look this way and try to get his input in.
I feel like the Suge Knight stuff, from what I know, seems pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's accurate.
He hung Vanilla Ice out the window by his ankle.
Yeah,
that's insane. Story. That's crazy.
He was a guy who really enjoyed being the Prince of Darkness. He had no problem.
He's a real gangster. He's not he has nothing, no musical talent anyway.
No, not
pretty. He's just a gangster.
Yeah, he would get mad. I think in the height of the Death Row era, when Dr. Dre would sit in the office and his foot was on the Death Row. The carpet had an imprint, and he had, his foot in the wrong spot. He would, freak out on him.
Yeah.
He just take it.
Oh, even the stupid, talk about worst endings that were, Dr. Dre leaves. He's like, I'm starting my own label. He's like, it's going to be called The Aftermath. And you're like, what the fuck?
More of a Death Row guy, huh?
I love Death Row. I grew up on Death Row. That movie, I'm just like, that's why I don't watch movies. You just get mad. Upset. I'm like, this is like biopics. I'm like, that's not what happened.
I was there.
Yeah.
All right. Is it my turn? Number 4?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see what hasn't been picked. Okay, I'm going to go with an 80s classic. I'm going to go with not a trilogy anymore. It was part of a great trilogy. I'm going to go with the third part. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I love when they get into into Petra. I don't know if it's referred to that, but the Canyon of the Crescent Moon, and he goes through all that little gauntlet that they talk about with his dad. When you see the knight,
for the Grail Cup, right?
Yeah, for the Grail Cup. And so he's a Knight Templar, I guess.
Yes,
was, right?
That was a bit of a downer, though.
Why?
When he picked up the sword and he almost fell over? I'm really?
But they named the dog Indy.
Yeah. but after all of that... And you, the thing about the Indiana Jones movies, he never really gets the MacGuffin that he's after, right? It's always...
Right.
He gets it, but it's lost. Like, yeah. in, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, he gets it, but they don't know what they're doing with it. Oh, it's on there?
Yeah, Raiders.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But he shares the Grail Cup with him and his father, saves his father's life, and then just seeing them ride off into the sunset. Yep. And the credits roll, and you keep seeing them ride. Like, it doesn't stop. Like, it doesn't go black right away until the sun goes down. So that...
I like those.
Yeah, that was a good...
A lot of Westerns do that, too.
Yeah, that was a great ending where he reunites with his dad. He, you know, they make peace with each other. And I wish they would have just ended the Indy trilogy there.
I didn't watch the next one.
You didn't want... You would love...
Aliens or something?
You would love the next one.
No, I wouldn't.
Crystal Skull?
Yeah. Don't you think he would love? He'd be the one. He'd be the one guy to love the Crystal Skull, right?
I just watched the first three again. I love them. Even like Raiders is a great ending too. Right? You have Raiders on there.
I have Raiders.
That ending. Let's just talk about it.
It's amazing.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
They just file away the.
Yeah. So the whole thing is around the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
Which up until that movie, because it's the first movie, they don't really delve into the supernatural. Like, it's all about, you know, very grounded stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's opened and you can see the faces melt and everything, and you see the power.
Scene, I remember as a kid, I was like, terrified. Oh,
right, yeah, I know.
I was like, should I look away too? Like, I feel like I shouldn't be looking at this,
right?
That era, of like 80, 81, 82, 83 had a lot of amazing movies.
Yeah.
Like, just those,
the
like,
80s did.
Incredible.
What scared you more, when Belloc, he exploded? Or when the other guy's face, like, melted and his, like, eyes dilated. And
the melting.
Yeah, right?
The melting.
What was that guy's name again? I forget his character's name. But he terrified me as a kid.
He was the guy with, like, he came with the hot poker and he was, like, he comes at the camera with the thing.
Yeah, and he had his hand. He was such a loser.
He grabs the thing.
But we're seeing his face melt, man.
To me, feels like, remember in Total Recall where they're like, they end up on their faces are like blowing up the Mars, that type of thing. I get the same feeling from that.
Can someone explain that ending of Total Recall? Because I always thought it was like they lived happily ever after, but did they just die because they were like the air?
No, they put the thing in and they get the oxygen. The other guy died, but not them.
So they got it.
Yeah.
Because he went out first. He was dying before then. Then they came out after.
Right.
And then they got the oxygen in time. They oxygenated. The aliens, right. I don't know, terraformed Mars or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
But the, great ending for Raiders.
Yeah.
I think, the biggest thing is, like, you realize how powerful this thing and how this could be pretty much world-changing. And then typical government, they throw it in a box and then it gets lost in a... You know,
that's one of those things though that sticks with you, and you're like, oh yeah, they just file it away.
And you wonder what are in those other boxes?
Yeah,
and those other crates.
That was the one thing that was cool about the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is that they go to that place where it was filed away, right?
You seem to be the only person who liked the Crystal Skull one.
I saw it. I saw it in the theater too, and I don't remember much about it.
What about Temple of Doom? Is someone talking about Temple of Doom?
I like Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom is like the Mario 2 of like the Indiana Jones. Like, it doesn't fit the mold of the rest of them, but it's still good.
Yeah.
Like, it's still great in its own right, but it feels like, you know, you play Super Mario 2 and he's picking onions and you're like, what is this shit? But it's still kind of fun.
It's my favorite one, Super Mario 2, because it's so different.
That's what I'm saying. But it, like, it doesn't feel like a Mario. Yeah. And then, like, the Temple of Doom, you're like, this isn't what Indiana Jones is supposed to be doing. No. This is cool. And you still like it.
It went to supernatural, and then it just went, like, way off on it, this thing.
Yeah, and they're eating monkey brains. You're like, this is wild. But
it's technically a prequel. Because it takes place a few years before
Raiders?
Yeah.
Or does it?
If you look, I think it's like 1935 when he's on that adventure.
I never even realized
makes
that.
Sense.
Yeah, I realized it later when I was like a teenager. I'm like, wait a second, this takes place before. So where's Shorty and Raiders? Like, why didn't he show up? But
we need to do a Raiders cast.
Yeah, that'd be good. There's a whole podcast just on Indiana Jones. I'm like, how much can you talk about?
Oh, yeah.
Only like four movies. I guess there's
getting to the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, I guess.
There we go.
We'll
do a viewing.
Anybody do the young Indiana Jones? Anybody watch that?
Oh, I remember watching
TV show.
That.
I saw a couple of them.
I also love that scene in the Holy Grail where he's the young and then he does the whip and then he like cuts his
own
neck.
Yeah.
That's where he got that scar.
That's where he got
from.
The scar. Yeah, that was cool.
Pretty good.
Where are we in the order now? I went, so now we're on our fifth.
Yeah.
So why don't
you
kick off?
I think
you
went and then we skipped Shane.
Well, no, we just, because you talked about Indiana Jones, we went to Raiders. But that doesn't count.
That doesn't count. No, that doesn't count.
We're at
37.
Yeah.
Five?
Daph, you kick off five.
I like this movie because it taught me a lesson. Seen these other ones.
Oh. Taught you a lesson.
It did.
Oh, okay. So we're getting deep now.
It's an animated movie.
Okay.
Is there a fox in it?
No, don't fox. No.
He wants to see tears.
No.
We was came close deer? Early in the beginning.
Yeah, with the shoe.
So, I learned that laughter is stronger than screams and frightenedness.
Frightenedness.
Do we know what we're talking about?
Still, I'm not.
Pixar movie. I know what it is. Think Pixar, thinks Disney. You should know this, Mr. Disney.
I feel like I should.
Think Mike Wazowski.
Oh, yes, of course.
Did you watch Monsters, Inc.?
No, I fell asleep.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Monsters, Inc. is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's such a clever movie.
Yeah.
But the reason why I like this, because obviously throughout the movie there's like a development between this young child and a monster, and then their hesitation about her. But obviously it flourishes into this like, you know, protective kind of fatherly so-and-so thing. And then it so happens that she has to go back to her world, and then the monster world, it's very segregated. But Mike, who is Sully's best friend, finds a way for Sully to go back and see the little girl.
Have you ever seen? You never seen? You fell asleep.
I was dating a girl and she was like, "You gotta watch this." And then I fell asleep and then I woke up with the credits and she was so mad.
There was a sequel.
Really?
I literally just the credits.
Yeah, we saw Monster University.
Oh yeah, of course we did. Did we have it?
No, we don't have that one.
That's why I don't know about it. But yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But the first one was really...
Do you like animated movies?
Yeah, I like a lot of the Pixar ones. That one, I don't know why, it didn't really grab me. Like, wasn't that interesting.
Favorite Pixar movie?
It's so good.
What's your favorite?
We should do a Pixar podcast. That'd be a good one.
It's gotta be like Up or Wall-E, right? Like, I love Wall-E.
I don't like Wall-E.
I love Wall-E.
Wall-E made me cry. Good.
The cockroach freaks me out, though. His little friend at the beginning.
She left Wall-E in the theater bawling.
Yeah. I think that was the first time we went.
As like a married couple.
I think it was bawling during Up. Up's my favorite by far.
Up opens. Yeah. It's a kid's movie. It opens with his like wife dying of cancer and like a montage.
We were watching that and we're in the theater and you know, it starts, Pixar and everything. And then like 5 minutes in, we're like, are they really going there?
Yeah.
Are they... Oh my god. You're just like sinking. Yeah. We're like,
Up is
the saddest thing ever. Yeah.
Up, we didn't see that in theater. We saw it at home. You got emotional.
Yeah, I always get emotional for stuff.
Why is this going in so hard so quick?
Carl is the best.
I didn't like Up as much as everyone else did because I had heard so much already about like, oh, it's so sad. You're going to die. You're going to cry. And
what's nice is like the opposite. It ends really nice and hopeful, and you feel good.
Actually, a really good ending too.
Starts really like sad.
He gets the little award, the little thing.
Like Martin's getting all like.
I love that movie. He gets the little award.
You know what joke I love from that too is like the dog. And the dog can talk, and then they're calling out the cars.
Yeah,
like, red car. Look at the dog's like gray.
Squirrel.
Yeah, is that your favorite Pixar movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your favorite Pixar movie?
I think it might be Monsters, Inc., actually.
Yeah, you've always been a big fan of Monsters, Inc. It's one of those movies where I think for the first, not the first time, but you kind of see them take this childlike premise of a movie, very simple plot, but it has so much more meaning, like contextual meaning behind it. They all do, right? But that's one of those where they've conditioned everybody to be afraid of something that's not real in order to maintain control.
Yeah. Right. Using fear. Yeah.
Using fear, right? Yeah. And when you look back at it, like, wow, just to keep everyone scared and to make them feel that there's power in fear, we need to harness that, but then there's more power in laughter. Like
And hold it over them.
Yeah.
Saying that if they don't have the fear, they're not going to be able to survive.
And
it's just a legit funny movie.
Is it Billy Crystal?
And
I couldn't imagine anybody
John
other
than
John Goodman.
Yeah. Other anybody really other than Billy Crystal doing that voice?
I don't think
it's
so.
It's so good.
Yeah, he does it spot on. Yeah, it was great. My favorite Pixar movie? I might be boring about this, but Toy Story's mm-hmm. always up there.
The first one? The
first one. Yeah, it's just one of those things where I always, as a kid, imagine, like, I wonder if my toys, like, come to life when I'm not in the room. Yeah. Like, what kind of adventures would they have? And to see each different... Because what I liked about his toys were that they were all the classic ones, but he didn't have, like, a set of just...
No.
One, you know, like I was a kid who wanted the whole set of Batman toys or Ninja mm-hmm. Turtles, but he had one of each mm-hmm. and found a way to make use of them all.
Yeah.
So to see how in their adventures they all kind of like the Slinky Dog is used for something and the remote control car.
The Army Man.
Yeah.
The Barrel of Monkeys.
Yeah, all of those type of things were, it was really clever how they put it together. I'm a big fan of the, what's it called? The Incredibles, too. That's oh, like the yeah. best Fantastic Four movie.
It is.
Right?
Ever made, yeah.
Yeah, that was really, really well done,
too. Cars was really good, too.
I've never seen Cars.
Never seen it.
My Cars little brother was like...
It's great.
3 when that came out. I saw Cars like 5 billion times.
The sequels aren't great, but the first one is amazing.
Cars yeah. and The Incredibles, my brother watched like... I've seen a million, like on a loop. You know, little kids just watch it over and yeah, over again?
Yeah, that was me in Back to the Future.
Oh, Incredible sequel coming.
Which one?
The Incredible sequel is coming
out. Yeah. When is that coming out?
It takes them like 5 years to make these movies. I don't know, but it's yeah. been announced a while back.
Anyone like Zootopia?
Yes. Zootopia yeah, was very good.
Can't think of the only one that was WALL-E just because there's no WALL-E. Talking in it. I'm like,
that's why I love
and you stayed up for that one.
I love it. I love the visuals of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. that just the whole scene. I love the like the little jokes where
the designs are so good in that too. Like the robot.
He looks like Johnny Five.
Yeah, he
like,
does. He
looks like a little Johnny Five. But you know he's like cleaning up and sorting the earth and stuff. And there's this mm-hmm. one part where he goes into his house and he has a thing for forks and for spoons. And he has a spork, and he's like, he just puts it in the middle, like he doesn't know what to do with it, and just little jokes like that. I was like, ah, oh, it's so funny.
But was WALL-E like a concept that they had like on the side, and then they just continued to develop it? I don't know. Like one of their shorts, I thought it was maybe like a short
Pixar podcast. Call those guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, Pixar experts here?
Was that supposed to be a commentary like on our environment and how the world is like falling apart? So it was like an education.
Fell asleep in that one.
Well, it was almost like when you watch like Idiocracy and you're like, that's happening.
Yeah.
Like the people are like, they live on a spaceship above the earth and they're like so fat, their bones, their skeleton is shrank.
Yeah.
They don't walk or use their bones. They just float around. Mm-hmm. You're like... This is happening.
They don't talk to each other. They talk on screen.
Yeah, yeah. It's you, as you watch, it is a social commentary. You're like, that is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in Pixar movies that are...
I just remember bawling when I went out.
Yeah, you were out of control.
I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Did they get together?
I don't remember.
I've only seen it once. I wasn't a huge fan.
And we went with friends. Yeah. And they were like, they don't know what to do with me. Like, what is happening with her?
All right, Martin. Number 5.
It's me?
It's you.
Oh, it's my last one?
It's your last one. Make it.
Okay.
How long are we going for?
This one has 4 parts. We're
almost at 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Imagine if we wanted to do 10.
Oh, dude. Okay. What do I pick? Do I just pick one that you guys haven't seen? I'm going to go with a horror movie.
Go for it.
Do it.
That has spawned a lot of sequels, but really I just want to talk about the first one because it's the only worthwhile one, and that's Saw. The first Saw. So, the setup of the film, it stars Cary Elwes from The Princess Bride.
Oh.
Yeah.
Basically, it sets up these two guys... find themselves in a room and they're both handcuffed, or their ankles are handcuffed to a rail, and there's clues in the room and they got to figure out why they're there, and the only other thing they have is a hacksaw.
That's how it starts?
Yes.
What?
And they're trying to figure out like what is the motivation, why are they there. There's actually, I think, 8 other people in this big warehouse, and they got to figure... there's a lot of, like, little traps and things they have to try to get out of this place. It's like the original escape room, but they die if they don't escape. And all there is two guys in a room, and there's this dead body in the middle of the room, and they have this hacksaw, and they have clues around, and there's these little sort of loudspeaker things come in with, you know, the person that's taunting them and things like that. I don't want to go through the whole movie, but basically at the ending, one of them ends up dying, The other one ends up taking the hacksaw, cutting off his leg so he could get out of... It's the only way to get out of the room that you can't hacksaw the steel thing. He finally sort of gets out. And then the last thing you see is the dead body in the middle of the room gets up. And that was the person that actually put them in there. And he was listening to them the whole time. And they had no idea that the person that had them in the room was the dead body.
No.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was cool.
What was the vendetta? What did he have them in there for?
His whole thing, and again, it's not great, but his whole thing is he wanted people to appreciate life and stuff like that. I don't know, whatever. But it doesn't matter. but it's more, yeah, like, because he's dying, right? Mm-hmm. So he wanted people to appreciate
things. Is he the one in each all the sequels after that?
Until, like, three or four.
So it was like a life lesson kind of thing?
Kind of a life lesson kind of thing,
yeah. I remember when that first one came out, I remember... Because I don't like horror movies. I
guess. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm such a pussy.
It was a very extreme movie.
I overheard someone talking about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's freaking me out already.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of extreme the concept scenes. Of
it. You're like, oh, no. That's
so they have, terrible. like you know, they'll have someone in a thing. And the only way to get out of this contraption is there's a key. But the key is inside that other person.
Oh.
Right. So they have to decide what they want to do, like this, that sort of thing. But the big reveal is that the person that put them all in that was in the room the whole time, just lying down as a dead body, and they had no idea.
Did you see it?
No, never. I just heard people talk about
it. But it's a cool ending. I thought it was.
He'll never watch it.
No, never. There's like seven of them because I downloaded movies. Well, you just had one. My dad will watch anything. He was like, "There's a new Saw out," and I was like, "What? What Saw?" And he's like. Number seven. I was like, seven?
Yeah,
seven
yeah.
of these movies?
Like the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea that there's like a lesson behind it, but the whole like...
Well, it's a horror movie.
Yeah. But that's what I mean.
The
like
first
that,
one
like,
was pretty good.
That's not my thing, but like the fact that there's like this hidden gem at the end.
Yeah, that's the cool piece. Where you're like... Because you don't you see the setup, but you don't think about that body again. You think, oh, this is the last person that was in here and it died because they couldn't figure out how to get out.
Mm-hmm.
It's trippy,
right? And
yeah,
then at the end, you
the
just at the end you just see him slowly raise, and you're like, "That's him." Anyway,
you're like, oh,
and he
no.
just walks off screen, and that's
and
it.
And he just walks out of the room. As the
it's almost like
police come,
the opposite
he walks
of
out of the room.
Sense.
He's gone.
He was alive the
he
whole
was
time.
Alive the whole time. That's right. Are we doing things after?
You want to do all your honorable mentions?
I want to spoil all of it. It's okay.
We should do another of this list, though, because I still have... I was just looking... I have, like, 20, I have, like, 10 more.
Yeah,
you're just going to go through every movie ever seen and be like, this is a good ending.
Do a part two on Fastball Special.
Yeah. I could do that.
Shane, number five.
I'm trying to decide what's my last one. There's so many good ones still.
Mm.
You go first. You go first. I'll go after.
You want... Okay.
I'm trying to decide.
I can take chance.
Yeah. All right. There's so many to pick, but this is one that the ending of it, everybody knows. I'm sure everyone's seen it here. But we're still debating if it was all a dream when you see that top spinning.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In Inception. And you... I find that movie to be... quite the mind bender, because at some point I forget what layer of the dream I'm in,
right?
And I think that's part of the whole concept.
Yeah.
But then when he gets out and everyone says, was it all a dream? What did you guys think?
I choose to believe in happy endings for him.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Do you think that thing was gonna topple, or do you think he's been dreaming
it
this
was about
whole
to
time?
Topple.
What do you guys think?
It.
You never seen
I read
it?
The Wikipedia.
I
doesn't the top like almost falter and then end, like,
I didn't
ends,
I don't I didn't
like,
I actually
like,
didn't make a decision. I just kind of
left it open-ended.
I can't, like... Yeah, I didn't make a decision. There's... I don't know. Because it does falter in a minute.
It does. I think it's about...
There's this little skip thing.
I think it's about to fall when I see it. But it is done
in a way...
But then
it comes back.
Yeah. It is just enough to make you be like, oh, crap. So, I don't know. I think Christopher Nolan is one of those guys, though, who has a penchant for making those great endings. Like, Prestige was Christopher Nolan... All the Dark Knight movies, obviously. This one,
Memento
is
good too,
right? Even I don't know if you guys watched Interstellar. I've only
seen
it.
I haven't yet.
Okay, I've seen it once. You'd like it. The thing with Interstellar is it is a long movie.
I'd like it still.
But yeah, you probably like it.
Wikipedia page is long. I read that.
You read that one too?
Yeah.
Shane reads the movies.
You should do a Wikipedia review of movies.
Yeah, a review
of movies. Right? You review the Wikipedia.
I don't want to watch it, but if you were talking about it, I want to know what
this entry is too long. There's a spelling error.
Every Wikipedia. I've read the Wikipedia for every episode of Breaking Bad. And then I watched the last episode.
Yeah, there was a point where I was watching Breaking Bad, and then it got to the point where I read the rest of it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And I was happy that I did, because I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
It's too long.
I didn't want to see...
The only episode I've ever seen Breaking Bad is the last one. I read the rest on Wikipedia.
You guys are so
because I want to know what people are talking about, but I don't want to watch. I don't want to sit there and watch, like, 5 seasons of Game of Thrones or whatever, but I'm like, I want to know what people are talking about.
Amazing.
It's, I haven't got time for that. It's
boring. I've never watched Game of Thrones myself.
Read the Wikipedia. It's great. Yeah, if you really like that, there's a Wikipedia for the books.
You know what? Do you like reading Wikipedia? Like, you read comic books all day.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference of reading, like, a synopsis of it on Wikipedia?
I think it's just that it hits the points of, like, here are the main things you need to know, but you don't get to experience it. You don't get to feel the emotion. You don't really get scared. Like, if you were to watch it, you actually feel the fear or the intensity of, like, this is about to happen, as opposed to reading, like, oh, okay, that happens.
Yeah, right? That's all I want.
That's what he needs. Good. He's got to get back to work and finish
more. You know, you brought up Fox.
Yes, I did.
Rule breaker.
I know, but I'm going to be the one that has to fight her after.
I have one, but I'm like, I think I can save it for their Christmas list.
If it's a Christmas movie?
It's Home Alone.
No, it's not Home Alone, but that will be on my Christmas list. That's obviously one of the best Christmas movies of all time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with... Oh, it's so hard to choose. This is not good radio.
The silence is never as long as you think, believe me.
I guess a pregnant pause, they call it. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go, like, silly with it. I'm a big John Hughes fan.
Yeah,
and I love the ending of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay, mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that one.
I love the whole
very good.
Like, just him, like, running home to beat his dad. That whole scene is silly and good. But then just the, like, at the end of it, like, you know, the characters is that they always got to grow or whatever. But, like, he basically, like, opened up the world to his buddy Cameron, who's, like, not going to take shit from his dad anymore. He went through that whole, like, cathartic smashing his dad's car. And then he gets home, and his sister, who just hates him, kind of covers for him. And you're like, he kind of, like, opened up her world a little bit, too. Like, she went on her own little adventure and, like...
Mm-hmm. Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen's, she's, like, making out with him at the police station. But then, like, and then, like, the principal gets his due at the end, and you're kind of just like... Mm-hmm. I feel like those type of people are sort of underappreciated. The guys that are sort of... easygoing and relaxed and don't worry about stuff. And then there's so many people that are like Cameron or like his sister who are uptight about everything and worried about things. And then you need kind of guys like Ferris Bueller to show you that, like, chill out, relax, like, things are okay. And people kind of start to relax and see the, you know, appreciate the world. And that's what I feel like at the end of Ferris Bueller. I'm like, yeah, he got away with all of it because he lives this charmed, nice life.
Yeah, it's true. It's one of those things that sometimes you got to pop that movie in just because it's a classic, but it also helps you center again. Like, just you know, don't worry so much about stuff. Everything will be okay. Skip work today. It's okay.
Yeah, and it's such a fun ending. Like, that whole fun scene, and then he gets home, and then you're like, oh, no, his sister's going to rat him out right now. And she, like, covers for him, and, like... The principal gets screwed, and you're like, yeah, that's nice. I like that.
I can't stand that guy. Rooney?
Rooney!
Even just the actor.
Jeffrey Jones? Yeah. Yeah, he's always playing. I think
he got booked for
like
some
pedophilia or like child porn or something like that. Yeah. So, you're like, he's kind of, he's really like a gross guy, and he's he's very like gross in that. You know, like, he's stepping in like.
I heard something about Charlie Sheen today, too.
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah. That's not really surprising, though.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever stopped method acting since Ferris Bueller. he's been playing that part ever since.
Yeah. So that's mine, is Ferris Bueller. I'm a big John Hughes fan. I could like put all the John Hughes movies endings on my list. But
you see the documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finding John Hughes. That was cool.
Yeah.
He
became a recluse, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? What was that author? J.D. Salinger.
Yeah. Or there's a similar documentary that's about Bill Watterson, the Calvin and Hobbes guy, and it's it's actually like very parallels very well with like the John Hughes one where they're like going on a mission to find him, and then like I love that very much, that movie.
That's true. He's never, I don't even know what it looks like.
John Hughes? I think
The Calvin Hobbes guy.
Bill Watterson. Watterson. It's so interesting because you never realize it, but like he's never actually even like he's never sold the rights to Calvin Hobbes. Anything you've ever seen, like merchandise of Calvin Hobbes, it's always like bootleg stuff. But yeah, it's so great. But yeah, that movie about the documentary with John Hughes is so good. I love John Hughes so much.
Movie
he wrote Home Alone, by the way.
Yeah. You know what when he did it, that made me think of? I think you guys mentioned a movie that reminded me of this was Dennis the Menace.
I love that's on my list of best endings. It's such a good ending.
Isn't that great?
Oh my god.
I love that movie.
My old roommate, we'd always talk about it, like I loved it so much, and he was like, let's watch this Dennis the Menace because it sounds like so good, and he didn't like it at all. I think he thought I was playing like a trick on him or something. He was like, this movie sucks. I was like, are you insane? It's so good.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's literally one of the things I was choosing with that ending too.
I mean, almost put that on my list.
Yeah, it's such a good ending. Mr. Wilson like yells at him, and then when he like comes, that whole scene with Christopher Lloyd where he's just incidentally just like beating the shit out of him and like making him eat beans, and then he just shows up with him at the end. Oh, it's so good.
You ever seen it?
And John Hughes wrote Dennis the Menace.
It felt like
Breakfast
it.
Club.
But Breakfast Club is one that he directed. Like, he wrote a lot of movies that he didn't direct.
But that's a great ending too.
Oh yeah.
With the essay, they read the essay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did, you know. He started to write a lot of movies with, like, a pseudonym of Edmond Dantès.
Oh, did he?
If you look at some credits where it says Edmond Dantès, it's John Hughes.
That's John Hughes?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to look that up. I wonder
he's
if
very
it's
very pirate guy.
Jingle All the Way.
Oh, yeah, I know. But really? On Wikipedia, they credit him as the writer.
Yes. I've never seen that.
That's a good Christmas movie. That's a really good Christmas movie.
They always played that at my dentist. Yeah. I'd be sitting there getting a filling, and I'm like, we gotta watch this, Sinbad, and Schwarzenegger.
And Hartman, Phil Hartman's in it, he's so good.
Yes, he is.
That's right.
And Sinbad, I think Sinbad's so funny, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is such an underrated comedic actor.
Sinbad's
like,
a big guy, man, because he was like the same size as Schwarzenegger.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, very big.
Yeah, but like no one thinks of Arnold as a comedic actor, but like Kindergarten Cop, those type of movies, they're so fun. Yeah, like,
Twins was
he's really
too.
Good. Yeah, Jingle All the Way is great.
He knows the things about him that make him that thing that person in the room that's awkward.
Yeah,
he plays it well.
He actually said that in an interview that Twins is the movie that he made the most money from ever.
Wow.
Because he signed a deal where like he got rights to it. And
right.
One of the first early deals that actors did that, and he's made more money off Twins than any other movie he's ever made.
So weird.
That's crazy.
Out of all, not even Terminator 2 or Last Action Hero. It's her favorite Schwarzenegger movie.
It's not so bad. People really don't like it.
Of course. Out of all,
it's no Waterworld, but it's. I mean, I don't think it's a great movie, but it's not as bad as everyone made it sound. You know, it's so funny. When we were kids, that movie tanked so bad, right? Like Last Action Hero. So I guess all the toys and merchandise, like no one could sell them. So my mom bought the whole line of Last Action figure toys. Because they marked them down for so cheap. So I had all the Last Action, but I didn't want them. I was like, I don't know, let's do it. No, everyone hates those movies.
I don't know the characters.
Yeah.
You had the scary guy with the axe.
Yeah.
Did you have that guy?
I had the car and everything. She got everything for like $20. Like the entire line. It was crazy. I was like, I wish this was something I really wanted. Because I always wanted to know like all the like Ninja Turtles ones.
Yeah.
But I could never get them all, right? But this one, my mom was like, hey, they're really cheap. She bought them all.
Your friends came over like,
yeah,
out of all of them, like, not the Terminator, not even Twins.
Like, you
got Last Action Hero.
Yeah, he's like Terminator in different clothes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Terminator's day off.
So do you guys want to do some honorable mentions or do you want to
Martin
save
does.
So I'll just throw down a couple.
All right, Martin, I know you're dying to.
No, I just throw down
a quick, 37.
Okay. Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
You guys seen this?
Okay.
I know the ending.
You know the ending?
Yeah.
Very famous ending, right? Just long story short, guy goes up into space, comes back down, he comes to a planet inhabited by apes, goes through all this turmoil at the end of the film. He's walking on a beach and he looks over and he sees the Statue of Liberty. which means that he actually came back in the future, back to Earth, and they found out that they've actually destroyed the Earth, and this is what's left of the Earth.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's one of those movies, though, as a, like, it was way before my time, so I've seen it parodied more than I had.
Right, it's in everything. So, it's in Simpsons and everything.
So I could never watch that and not know the ending already, so there's no impact for it, but I'm like, it is a good movie.
Yeah, that's cool. What else?
Yeah, something? Okay. Have you guys seen The Thing? John Carpenter's The Thing? It's another horror movie? Okay. So I'll try
to do the movie poster.
The movie poster? I'll do the 2-minute version of this one. So Kurt Russell is the main character. Essentially, alien ship crashes down. It takes place in this little research lab.
It's in Antarctica.
Yeah. So it's away from everybody. Of course, it takes place in the 80s, so they don't have the same communication and things as they do today. We find out as a watcher of the movie that the alien is able to infect people and basically replicate that person perfectly. So you do not know who the alien is amongst your friends. Someone figures this out, and slowly they sort of figure out who the aliens are and the replicating are. End of the film, they go through hell and back trying to destroy this thing. There's one character, this Kurt Russell character, and this other one, Childs, end up sort of sitting down. They're completely exhausted. They have no fight left in them. They think they destroyed anything. But at the end of the film, you're basically looking at the Kurt Russell character throughout the whole thing, but there are moments where he's off screen. And at the end of the film, you have these two last characters sort of sitting across from each other, not knowing if the other one is an alien or not. And both of them are sort of waiting it out, and then it just ends, right? So at the end of the film, it's one of those sort of up-in-the-air things. Is one or both of these final characters an alien?
Mm.
And that's kind of where it leaves off. It's a really cool ending. I'm not really doing it justice. You got to see the film, but that's kind of, I don't know. I liked it. I like those kind of films where they sort of...
Where there's no conclusion?
No, yeah, in a way.
It's an ambiguous.
It's an ambiguous conclusion, but yeah, it's still a satisfying film, but it's one of those things where...
Keeps you thinking.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, because they start, like, you don't realize, and then they start talking to each other, well, what happened when I was over here? What did you go off to at this point? And they're sort of playing off each other. It's like, well, yeah, I was with so-and-so, yeah, but so-and-so was an alien, and da-da-da. And so they're trying to play off each other, and you're trying to think, wait a second. There was a chance that one of these guys were an alien at the end, but you don't know. Hmm. And they leave it off like that.
Isn't there the Invasion of the Body Snatchers is kind of like that, where the character that you thought was human the whole time?
You've probably read the same list I did.
There's three.
The best movie
endings. I never watched half of those movies.
Yeah. But I read all of them.
Yeah.
There's three Invasions of the Body Snatchers. So
first one.
The first one is the one in the 50s that came out. The best one is 1972.
Which is the one with Donald Sutherland?
No, that's the one. Is the one. I think 72 or later 70, 78
yeah,
or something like that.
Okay.
That's amazing. Yeah, so main character right at the end, they have a way of distinguishing if they're an alien or not. There's a sort of scream that he does. And then right at the end, you kind of, you know, the two characters that are trying to reconnect because they get lost. One character finds the Donald Sutherland one. It's like, oh, we're safe. We made it. And he turns around and he does the scream and you find out that he's actually alien and calls her out.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Daph, you got any honorable mentions?
I do.
What give me some.
I don't know if this is like a popular one, but for me it was, I like court movies. I have a thing for like the back and forth. So this one, it's a hard watch, and the way this particular attorney describes the actions that were done in the movie, it's like, and this is the funny thing, I've never seen the actual scene, so rather they actually show it in the movie, I don't even know because I always forward it. Time to Kill.
So
when he's doing his closing argument and he's telling this all-white jury this horrendous acts against this innocent child and what was done to her, and he's describing, you know, these gruesome things, and then you can't even fathom what's happening, but he's describing it, and then all of a sudden he's like, now picture now imagine that she's white. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And everybody, like, people are crying. People are just like, and a case that they thought was open and shut was all of a sudden, you know, this family got their got their justice at the end of the day. And then you see the victim at the very end, still kind of like, you know, broken, but getting that thing back, like she's gonna start over, kind of thing. And it was very, I thought it was a very powerful ending.
The power of perspective, right?
Yeah,
change people's perspective, and all of a sudden they can't think the same.
Yeah.
That's, I like good. Courtroom films too.
Yeah,
I love the logic of it.
Yeah,
right. The argument. I love those kind of films.
Yeah. I love the. There's always like the scene where Sam Jackson that explodes and just like, yes, they deserve to die. There.
Yeah,
and then like in A Few Good Men. A Few Good Men, where he's just,
you can't,
like,
handle the truth.
Yeah, there's like that's
the,
like,
breaking point.
Yeah, they're up. And they're always like, yeah, because like it's just talking.
But they
heads
play them.
Right?
Yeah, they play them.
They're like, oh, that's it. Eric's drunk.
Champagne.
You got a
I don't know if I want
honorable mention. You want to save it for?
Yeah, we might want to see. I have so many.
Okay, give us one honorable mention.
Oh, okay, I'll do it because it's really silly. But well, we talked about Dennis the Menace. Sorry, that's on there. But I love Point Break with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze.
Saw it the other day again.
Yeah, and that ending where he uncuffs him and lets him catch that wave. And
yeah,
we'll get him when he comes back. And he's like, he's not coming back.
Yeah,
I love it. It's also like, I remember, because I always loved Point Break, and then I remember when the first Fast and the Furious came out, I was at someone's house, we were watching it, and like, I don't know, we were all like super high, and I remember just like sitting there in silence watching, and I was like, this is Point Break. This movie is Point Break. It's exactly like Vin Diesel is Patrick Swayze, and even like at the end, he like lets him go at the end, and you're just like, it's the same fucking movie.
He got that respect.
I love Point Break, and I love that scene where he lets him catch that wave, and he's just like, yeah, he's gonna drown.
The guys from the Chili Peppers in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Flea, and the singer too.
Nikitas.
Yeah.
Flea was in Back to the Future.
Which one?
What?
Two or three. Oh, yeah. He was one of Biff's buddies in number two?
No, he was Needles.
Oh. Yeah. Is he Needles in number two where he's like older Needle?
Yeah.
That's Flea?
Yeah, it's Flea.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Any more you have? Honorable mentions?
I'm surprised no one said anything about Usual Suspects.
Oh, that's another one that I didn't want to say, but because I thought someone might have.
I thought everyone would have that one just because it's.
I chose my seven as my Kevin Spacey one, but
that's the one where I was thinking like, I love the ending, but I don't want to rewatch it ever again. I'm just kind of like,
it is good.
I'd rewatch it years later to try to follow it, knowing that he's gonna be the guy.
Yeah,
and like, let me see if I can pick up those moments, but it doesn't really.
No,
there's never any real like definite things that's like, oh, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
When you watch Fight Club, you rewatch it knowing it, you get to see all those little clues, and you're kind of like, fuck, why didn't I notice that? The way he says that, you're like, of course, and it's like right in front of you, right?
But the twist kind of happens almost in the middle of the movie. In Fight Club,
it's like.
Or three quarters. Because he
realizes
and he starts. But that's, man, that blew my mind when I saw that film.
I read
the book after.
I had it ruined for me, but I still love it. Like, I watch it, I'm just like, it's so good. It's such a good, like, Brad Pitt, I think, is my favorite actor. I think he's so good. And because he, like, you know, you like people say, like, oh, Jack Nicholson's a great actor, or like Robert De Niro. But when you see them, like, especially nowadays, they just play the same character. They're just a version of themselves, right?
Yeah.
When you watch Brad Pitt, every role he does, he's like so different, from like Inglourious Basterds to 12 Monkeys to like Seven. Like, he's always like this different character, and he does it really well, and yeah, he's so good in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Especially for a guy with such a recognizable face, like, you're so
like, he's to me, he's like a true actor. He's like Kevin Spacey too, like, where he's like, he's almost like a chameleon, and you can become like a completely different person, right?
Have you seen him do impressions?
He's so good.
He's amazing.
Yeah. His Saturday Night Live,
oh my gosh,
where it's Kevin Spacey as different characters auditioning for Star Wars, and it's like Kevin Spacey as Christopher Walken auditioning for like Han Solo, and he's like fast ship, she's the fastest, oh man. And he's playing like Jack Lemmon trying to do Chewbacca, and Walter Matthau. Kevin Spacey is Walter Matthau trying out for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh my goodness.
And he's got like a putter with him the whole time. It's so funny.
Yeah, man. Super. It's so sad when you see these guys like get this controversy now because they're so easy to love their work, right?
Well, that's the hard part.
Where do you
separate? It's easy with Cosby. I don't care about his work. I never really was that big of a fan. But then it's like Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. I'm like, oh, but I want to like their work. They're so good at what they do.
Dirty licking their
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Right? Yeah. My honorable mention would probably have been Ocean's 11. I like that.
I love heist movies.
You've never seen it? The original?
It's a heist movie, right?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Great. It's a great ensemble cast of like
every... Oh, I think I've seen the ending.
Superstar you can think of, right? Like Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, Clooney.
Is Andy Garcia in it?
Andy Garcia. Andy Garcia's in all of them, but he's the main guy.
He's the guy who gets tricked at the end, right? Yeah. And they're like,
Yeah, so just seeing how... What it is they're trying to do is so far-fetched and ridiculous, but seeing how they pull it off in a certain way that it's still far-fetched, but they really it was more of them timing everything. That's cool, as opposed to this grand master plan of mechanics. That's cool. And just seeing them, that moment when they're in front of the Bellagio fountain with the music playing, and then they just go their separate ways. The only time you'll see the Bellagio fountain with no one around. But that was cool.
It's a cool film.
Yeah, it's a cool film. That was my pick. Should we wrap it up? Probably. We've been going 2 hours, 20 minutes. This is
Martin. Have you really? I got a bunch more, but that's all right.
we'll do a part two on the fastball special, Martin.
All right. Yeah, well, I want to do Christmas.
We're going to do Christmas films. Movies. I can do a definite top five that I'm very like adamant that these are the best five.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Stay tuned to the fastball special. You guys want to plug anything before we wrap up?
No.
You sure? No more? You did no more?
No. Kickstarter's done.
All right. We're good. Thank you guys so much. This has been a blast. Good celebration. Good laughs. Everyone got to meet. Finally, Daft J is real. Yeah.
Wouldn't shake her hand, but...
that's right.
she gave you a pound.
Nothing less.
There you go.
From the unshakable.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you've been listening to all of our episodes up to this point, you're awesome. Stay tuned for more. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Shane. And, of course, Lady J. Leave us an email at cableofsolitude@outlook.com. Shane makes fun of me for Outlook. And leave us an iTunes review as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening once again. Take care. We will be back soon. A celebration to last throughout the years. So bring